minus 5, minus 4, minus 3, minus 2, X minus 1. Fire.
Lights out, everybody.
The creaking door.
Dimension X.
Inner Sanctum Mystery.
X minus one.
Dark fantasy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Horror, brought to you by Duane Old Time Radio. Sci-Fi and Horror features some of the best programs from the golden age of radio, including X-1, Orbiter X, Dimension X, Slot X's, Lights Out, Ray Bradbury, Dark Fantasy, and many, many more. Before we start today's sci-fi and horror thriller, if you enjoy what I'm doing, let me ask you to subscribe to my channel. Subscribing is 100% free, and you will receive notifications on new posts. Lastly, if you have a moment, please write a short one or two sentence review or give a rating on your preferred podcast service. A positive review or rating would help me out a lot. And now, on to the show. And again, thank you for your support.
This week we're going to hear the second installment of the Foundation Trilogy by Isaac Osmanov. Episodes 4, 5, and 6. And these air on May 27, June 3rd, and June 10th, 1973, on BBC Radio.
Title: Foundation. Foundation and Empire. Second Foundation. Author: Isaac Asimov. Part number 4. Part title: The General. Encyclopedia Galactica, 116th edition. Entry: Del Rios. At the end of 200 years, the Foundation was the most powerful state in the galaxy, except for the remains of the Empire, which, concentrated in the central third of the Milky Way, still controlled three-quarters of the population and wealth of the universe. It seemed inevitable that the next danger that the Foundation would have to face was the final lash of the dying Empire. General Del Rios, in his relatively short career, earned the title the Last of the Imperials, and earned it well. He had his chance when, the first of the Empire's generals to do so, he faced the Foundation squarely.
I am General Del Rios.
I recognize you.
Your business?
One of peace. If you are Duke Mbar, son of Onumbar, I ask the favor of conversation.
Come in.
I must apologize for your wait at the door. The automatic device registers the presence of a visitor, but will no longer open the door.
Your repairs fall short.
Parts are no longer available. Will you sit, sir?
Thank you.
You're said to be young.
35?
4. In that case, I could not better begin than by informing you that I am not in the possession of love, charms, potions, or filters.
I have no need of artificial aids in that respect, sir. Do you receive many requests for such things?
Enough. Unfortunately, an uninformed public tends to confuse scholarship with magicianry. And love life seems to be the factor that requires the largest amount of artificial aid.
Tell me then, patrician, who are the magicians, the real ones?
There are no magicians.
Oh, but Sowena crawls with tales of them. There are cults being built about them. And eventually the matter might become a danger to the state.
Why ask me?
Your father once met a magician, alive and actual, and spoke with him. You had better tell me what you know.
It would be interesting to tell you certain things. It would be a psychohistoric experiment of my own.
What kind of experiment?
Psychohistoric. My father was a patrician of the Empire and a senator of Siena. His name was Ernan Barr.
I know both of him and the circumstances of his exile very well. You needn't elaborate upon that.
During his exile, a wanderer came upon him, a merchant from the edge of the galaxy who knew nothing of recent imperial history and who was protected by an individual force shield. This is the magician of whom you hear myths and whispers.
Is that all the story there is?
I see you don't believe me. Well, I have concrete proof of his existence. His generator for the force shield hangs on the wall behind you. It no longer works, but if you look at it, you will see that no one in the Empire ever designed it.
That is the generator.
It was the generator. The secrets of its workings are beyond discovery
well,
now.
Well, then, your proof is still inconclusive.
You have demanded my knowledge of me. You choose to meet it with skepticism. You want me to stop?
No.
I continued my father's researches after he died. It was then that I discovered that Siena was well known to Hari Seldon.
Who is Hari Seldon?
A psychohistorian. The last and greatest of them all. He foresaw the decline of imperial power and the barbarization of the entire galaxy.
Then he foresaw wrongly, my good scientist. The Empire is more powerful now than it has been in a millennium.
The decay has not yet reached the heart.
So this Hari Seldon foresaw a galaxy of uniform barbarism. What then?
He established two foundations at the opposing ends of the galaxy. Foundations of the best, the youngest, and the strongest. They are to breed, grow, and develop. The worlds on which they were placed were chosen carefully, as were the times and the surroundings. And from these foundations will grow the seeds of a second galactic empire.
I must find one of these foundations that you speak of and observe with my own eyes. Now, you say there are two.
The records speak of two. Supporting evidence has been found only for one. But that is understandable. The other is at the extreme end of the long axis of the galaxy.
Well, in that case, I'll visit the near one.
You know where to go?
I'll find my way. I thank you for your help and your hospitality.
Your visit was a great honor.
As for the information you gave me, I'll know how to thank you for that when I return.
If you return.
Are we going to sit and ponder forever? Does it matter who speaks first?
Speak you first, then, Pharrell. You're the one who should be most worried.
Because you think I'm the richest? Well, or is it that you expect me to continue as I have started? I don't suppose you forget it was my trade fleet that captured this scout ship of theirs.
It's nothing to sleep over in fat triumph, this grasping of little ships. Most likely it will anger that young man, what's his name? Del Rio's even further.
You think he needs motives?
I do. And this might or will save him the vexation of having to manufacture one.
You forget we captured his scout ship without loss to ourselves and without warning being given to Bel Rio's flagship. He doesn't know we have it.
You hope.
I know. Anyway, this ship has proved its value. It's provided us with information. This young man is a general of the old Galactic Empire.
We knew that.
You suspected that. But if a man comes with ships and wealth, with friendly offers of trade, it is only sensible not to antagonize him until we are certain that the profitable mask is not a face after all. But now...
We might have been even more sensible. We might have found out first.
Before allowing him to leave. Listen, Pharrell.
You listen. This young general may have been a possible customer. All three of you tried to talk him into an advance contract. We have an agreement, a gentleman's agreement, against it. But you tried.
So did you.
Then let's forget what we should have done while he was here and concentrate on what we should do now he's gone. Right.
Right. Now, what did you get out of your captured ship, Pharrell?
As I told you, indeed, as you know, this man is a general in the Imperial Fleet of the Empire. He has proved his military brilliance, so I'm told, and is the idol of his men. The stories they tell of him are
quite... How do you know they were telling the truth?
I used a psychic probe, roughly.
In the old days, they would have used pure psychology. Painless, you know, but very sure.
This is not the old days. Farrell, what does he want here, this young, heroic general?
That's state policy. He wouldn't confide the details of that to his crew. I know. I tried hard enough to get it out of them.
Which leaves us...
to draw our own conclusions. Now, this young man is a general of the Empire, yet he pretends to be a minor princeling from some obscure part of the galaxy. Couple that knowledge with the fact that the Empire has already subsidized one attack on us in my father's time, and the possibilities become ominous.
There is nothing in your findings which makes for certainty.
Certainty? I don't believe in the possibility. Look, we have Seldon's assurance that he will in the end form the Second Galactic Empire. This is only another Seldon crisis, and we weathered the three before this.
Yes, with the guidance of Salvo Hardin and Hober Mallow. Who's to guide us through this one? Seldon's laws of psychohistory only help those who help themselves.
The times make the man. Another proverb.
You can't count on that, not with absolute assurance. But if this is the fourth crisis, Seldon foresaw it, and it can be beaten. But as before, it can only be beaten by a method other than pure force. We must find the weak side of the enemy and attack it there.
And what is that weak side? Do you know, Farrell?
No, I don't. But I intend to find out. We need spies. No, not one of us. We are rusty with red tape and administrative detail. We need younger men who are out in the field.
The independent traders.
Yes, if there's still time.
Any word from the scout ship, Lieutenant?
None, sir. The scouting party has quartered space, but their instruments have detected nothing. The fleet is ready for an immediate attack.
Not yet. Have this message sent to the Emperor.
Sir?
Have it coded first and transmitted by Type B.
Yes, sir.
Has the Suenian, Duke of Bar, arrived yet?
A few moments ago, sir.
And then show him in here immediately.
Very good, sir.
Good day, Patrician. Did you have a good trip?
I'm a little old to be taking good trips from my home planet. Now, will you tell me what you want?
Var, we had a discussion 6 months ago.
About your magician?
Yes. You remember what I said I would do?
Very well, you said you'd find them.
And I did. But they are not magicians, Patrician. Far from it. They inhabit a world that is so tiny and with so few resources as to be beyond belief. Yet they are so proud and ambitious as to dream quietly and methodically of galactic rule. They are so sure of themselves that they do not even hurry. They swallow worlds at leisure, creep through systems with dawning complacency, and they succeed. There is no one to stop them. They have built up a trading community that dominates systems further even than their ships can reach. I tell you, I was on planets closer to the Empire than they were to the Foundation, yet to them, the Empire was a myth. But the traders of the Foundation, living truths. We ourselves were mistaken for traders.
The Foundationers themselves told you they end in galactic domination?
Told me? It was not a matter of telling me. It is a thing that cannot be hidden. A universal optimism that they don't even try to hide.
So far it would seem to bear out quite accurately my reconstruction of events.
It is no doubt a tribute to your analytical powers. It is also a terrifying comment on the growing danger to the domains of His Imperial Majesty.
Possibly.
I need your help.
Indeed.
I frankly admit it.
Such help as I could give means nothing. All the might of the Empire could never crush the Foundation.
Why not? If you think that I have underestimated the enemy, you are wrong. I lost a ship. I have no proof that it fell into the hands of the Foundation, but it may mean that they have already opened hostilities. Well, can you then help me by answering one specific question? What is their military power?
I haven't the faintest notion.
Well, then how do you know that the Empire cannot defeat this foundation?
Because, as I told you before, I have faith in the art and principles of psychohistory and in the inevitable success of the servant clan.
But do you mean that this art of his predicted that I would attack the foundation and lose such and such a battle for such and such a reason? Are you trying to say that I'm a robot following a predetermined course into destruction?
No, the science doesn't concern itself with individual actions. It encompasses the entire galactic concept.
We stand grasped tight in the hand of a goddess of historical necessity.
Of psycho-historical necessity. And if I exercise my prerogative of free will,
if I choose to attack next year, or not attack at all, how pliable is this goddess? How resourceful?
Look. Attack now or never. With a single ship or all the force of the Empire, by military force or economic pressure, by open declaration of war or treacherous ambush, do whatever you wish in your freest exercise of free will, you will still lose.
Because of Hari Seldon's dead hand.
Because of Hari Seldon's mathematics of human behavior that cannot be stopped.
I'll take that challenge. It's a dead hand against a living will.
Encyclopedia Galactica, 116th edition. Entry, Cleon II. The last strong emperor of the First Empire, he is important for the political and artistic renaissance that took place during his long reign. He is best known to romance, however, for his connection with Belle Rios, and to the common man, he is simply Rios's emperor.
I live, Broderick. I live. If you can call it life, when every scoundrel who can read a book of medicine uses me as a blank and receptive field for his experiments, there is not one of them who can count a pulse beat without a book of the ancients before him. I'm sick, and they call it unknown, the fools.
The Great Hall holds the usual number of supplicants, Your Grace.
Well, let them wait. Have it announced that I hold no audience today.
There is a rumor, sire, that it is your heart that troubles you.
Huh? It will trouble others more than myself if any act prematurely on that rumor. But what is it you want? Let's have it.
A message, sire, has been received from General Belrios.
Oh? And to what effect?
He has spied out the land of these barbarians and advocates an attack in force.
Why bother me with this? It's, after all, a minor point. Success on a remote border with limited troops is scarcely a state affair.
Sire, the man was popular here and is popular there. He is young. If he annexes a vagrant barbarian planet or two, he will become a conqueror. And a young conqueror, who has proved his ability to rouse the rabble, is dangerous at any time.
You're a valuable subject, Broderick.
Sire.
You always suspect far more than is necessary, and I have only to take half your suggested precautions to be utterly safe. The young man has, I suppose, made no hostile moves yet.
He reports not, but already he asks for reinforcements.
Reinforcements? What force has he?
10 ships of the line, sire.
10 ships should seem adequate for any reasonable undertaking. And in any case, who are these barbarians he is fighting?
He refers to them as the Foundation.
The Foundation? What is that?
There is no record of it anywhere, sire. The area of the galaxy indicated falls within the ancient province of Anacreon. But there is no planet there known as the Foundation.
Really?
There is a vague reference in the library to a group of scientists sent to that province 200 years ago to prepare an encyclopedia. I believe they called it the Encyclopedia Foundation.
Well,
That seems a rather tenuous connection you're advancing.
I'm not advancing it, sire. No word was ever received from that expedition after the growth of anarchy in that region. Even if their descendants still live, they have almost certainly reverted to barbarism.
Mm-hmm. And he wants reinforcements. That is most peculiar. To propose to fight savages with 10 ships, and then to ask for more before a blow is struck. There may be more in this than would seem. I need a man out there. A man with brain and loyalty. In short, you, Broderick.
And the ships, sire?
Not yet. Not till we know more.
What do you think of my plans so far, Patrician?
Aye, of what value are my thoughts? I'm not a military man.
Can you read a map in radial projection?
Yes.
Well, then look here. These stars in gold represent the Imperial territories. The red stars are those in subjection to the Foundation. The pink stars are those which are probably within their economic sphere of influence. The blue stars are neutral for the present. Now, the blue stars have now been taken over by my forces, and they still advance. No opposition has appeared anywhere. The barbarians are quiet. And particularly, no opposition has come from Foundation forces.
You spread your force thinly, don't you?
As a matter of fact, despite appearances, I don't. The planets which I garrison and fortify are relatively few, but they are carefully chosen. The force expended is small, but the strategic result is unbeatable.
Yes. Have you received a reply from the Emperor?
You mean my request for reinforcements? Yes. Just the answer.
No ships?
No, I half expected that. Frankly, I should never have allowed myself to be stampeded by your theories into requesting them in the first place.
There is Imperial Majesty can spare no ships. Saga history could have predicted that. In fact, it probably did. I should say that Seldon's dead hand wins the opening round.
I have enough ships as it is. Your Seldon wins nothing. Should the situation turn more serious, more ships will be available. As yet, the Emperor does not know all the story, which, with all respect to you, is inherently improbable. If developments warrant, but only then, would I make out the case of mortal danger to the Empire.
Then for the present, you expect nothing from the Emperor?
No. Unless you count a special envoy as something.
A special envoy?
It's an old custom. A direct representative of the Crown is present on every military campaign. It's a method of preserving the symbol of personal imperial leadership in all campaigns.
You will find that very inconvenient, General, extraneous authority.
I don't doubt that. Did you know we've captured one of these Foundation traders, alive and with his ship intact? Well, I want you here when I'm questioning. You may understand him better than I. Ah, come in. Your name?
Lathan Devers. Are you the boss here?
You are a trader of the Foundation.
An independent trader of the Foundation. Listen, if you are the boss, you'd better tell your men to keep off my cargo.
Answer questions. Do not volunteer orders. Sit down, Devers.
Thank you.
You're a sensible man.
Thank you. Are you impressed by my face, or do you want
something? You surrendered your ship when you might have decided to put up a fight. It could result in good treatment for you if you continue that sort of outlook.
Good treatment is what I crave.
Good, and cooperation is what I crave. I've neglected the introductions, I apologize. This is Lord Duke Mbar, Patrician of the Empire, and I am Belrios, Peer of the Empire, and General in the Armed Forces of His Imperial Majesty, Cleon II.
The Empire? You mean the old Empire they taught us about in school? Funny. I always had the idea that it didn't exist anymore.
Well, look about you. It does.
What's the game, General?
The game is war.
Empire versus Foundation.
Correct.
Why?
I think you know why.
I don't.
I'm sure you do.
You're thinking I ought to jump up and lay about me. I could catch you before you move if I choose my time.
But you won't.
No, I won't. Killing you wouldn't stop the war. And I presume there are more generals...
Very accurately calculated.
Besides which, I'd probably be killed 2 seconds after I got you. And I never like to count on that when I'm making plans.
I said that you were a sensible man.
But there is one thing I'd like to know. What do you mean when you say that I know why you're at war with the Foundation? I don't. And I don't like guessing games.
Have you ever heard of Harry Seldon?
I said I don't like guessing games.
Don't you play games, Stevens! I know all about Harry Seldon's psycho-historical claptrap. But how the Foundation is going to destroy the Empire and build a new one.
Is that so? And who told you that?
That is unimportant. Now, what do you know about the Seldon fable?
But if it's a fable...
Don't play semantics, Stevens!
I'm not. You know all I know about it. Every world has its fables. Oh, I've heard about it. Seldon, Second Empire, and so on. They put kids to sleep at night with the stuff.
Is that really so? Well, I've been. As I know your Foundation, I've looked at it in the face...
And you ask me? Me, when I haven't been there for more than 2 months in 10 years? You are wasting your time. But go ahead with the war if it's fables you're after.
You're so confident, then, that the Foundation will win?
How did you squeeze that out of what I said?
Because the nation would bother you if you thought that your nation might lose this war and suffer the bitter results of defeat, I know. My world once did and still does.
Listen, what's defeat? I've seen wars and I've seen defeats. Now what if the winner does take over? Who's bothered? Me? The people? Oh, some of them get killed and the rest pay extra taxes for a while, but it settles itself down in the end. Look, I spend my life in space, selling my cheap gadgets, taking my cut from the big combine. Suppose you run the Foundation. You'll still need us. Because you don't know your way around, and we do. So we could bring in the hard cash. We'd make a better deal with the Empire than we've got now. I'm a man of business. If it adds up to a plus, I'm for it.
Lieutenant Fair.
Yes, General.
Prepare plan indicating position of each ship in action. Await orders on full armed defense. Patrician, I'm leaving this man with you. I expect results. This is war. And I could be cruel to failures. Remember.
Look, what's going on?
The forces of the Foundation are obviously coming out for their first battle. You better come with me.
Looks permanent.
It is.
Where do you fit into all this?
You're in my charge, that's all.
Yes, but you're in this 7 months. By whom?
By the Empire.
Here.
What are you... What?
It's all right. We can talk now. With that on your wrist, they won't hear a thing.
What do you want?
Look, you make noises like a patriot. Your own world has been smashed up by the Empire, and here you are, collaborating with the Emperor's general. It doesn't make sense.
I played my part. A conquering Imperial Viceroy is dead because of me.
Really? When?
40 years ago.
40 years ago? That's a long time to live on memories. Does the general know about it?
Yes.
And still you want the Empire to win?
May the Empire and all its works perish in eternal catastrophe. But I have children now, grandchildren. The General knows where to find them.
So, you killed a viceroy once. You know, I'm beginning to remember a few things. We had a mayor once named Hober Mallow. He visited Suwena, and he met a man named Barr.
That was my father, Onam Barr. What do you know of all this?
Oh, what every trader on the Foundation knows. Just the same, I'd like to see you prove that you're the son of Onam Barr, the sixth and youngest to escape the massacre.
Look here, then.
Well, that's Mallow's monogram, all right. The design is 50 years old. I believe you. A man-sized atomic shield is proof enough for me.
Lord Roderick, it is what one would expect from the enlightened wisdom of His Imperial Majesty to send so competent an observer as yourself.
The eyes of the Emperor are everywhere. Yet still it would seem that too great an emphasis is being placed upon the difficulties of this campaign. To desire more forces under these circumstances would savor almost of incapacity. Or worse, had you not already given sufficient proof of your boldness.
Now, there is a difference between boldness and blindness. You might as well ask why the same man sprints boldly over an obstacle course in the day and falls over the furniture at night.
Dramatic, but not satisfactory. You have been to this barbarian world yourself.
I beg you to remember, Lord Broderick, that a world which has developed in isolation for 2 centuries cannot be interpreted to the point of intelligent attack by a month's visit.
But you have this enemy prisoner.
Nor can a single prisoner, and furthermore, one who has no close connection with the enemy world, introduce me to all the inner secrets of enemy strategy.
I take it you have questioned him.
I have.
Well?
It has been useful. But not fighting so. His ship is tiny of no account. Naturally, there is a good deal about its workings that I do not understand. But then, I am not a tech man.
But you have among you those who are.
I, too, am aware of that. But they have far to go before they can meet my needs. I have already sent for experts who understand the workings of the atomic field circuit the ship contains. I have received no answer.
Men of that caliber cannot be spared, General. Surely there must be one man in your entire province who understands atomics.
If there were, I would have him repairing the motors of 2 of my own ships.
Oh, why is that?
2 ships of mine are lacking sufficient power and are condemned to consolidating positions behind the line.
You are not unique in that respect, General. The Emperor has similar troubles. Has a psychic probe been used upon this prisoner?
A superannuated one. It failed me the one time I needed it. I set it up during the prisoner's sleep and received nothing. And there is not one of my tech men who can tell me why it failed.
I think I had better speak to this trader myself.
Certainly.
Alone.
Certainly. However, since the trader is at my permanent base, you will have to leave the front at an interesting moment.
Interesting? In what way?
My preparations are now complete. Within a week, the 20th Fleet of the Empire advances towards the core of the resistance.
Suppose I were to blast him.
Who, Rios?
Yes.
Assassination isn't the answer. I tried it once when I was 20 and it solved nothing. I removed a villain from Siwena, but the Imperial yoke remained.
But Rios isn't just a villain. He's the whole army. It would fall apart without him.
There are other armies and other leaders. There is Broderick, for instance. He could demand hundreds of ships where Rios must struggle with 10. I know him by reputation.
Who is this Broderick?
He's the Emperor's advisor in all things and loyal only by necessity. They say there is no way to the Emperor but through him and no way to him but through infamy.
And he's the one the Emperor sent to keep an eye on Rios. I have an idea.
Suppose this Broderick takes a dislike to Rios.
Probably has already. He's not noted for a capacity for liking.
But suppose it got really bad, and the Emperor heard about it. Rios would be in trouble.
Quite likely. But how do you propose to get it to happen?
I don't know. I suppose Broderick could be bribed.
Oh, yes. But even if you reached his scale, it wouldn't be worth it. There's probably no one so easily bribed, but he lacks even the fundamental honesty of honorable corruption. He doesn't stay bribed, not for any sum. Think of something else.
There must be some way to make it work.
Lord Broderick is coming to see you.
Broderick? When?
Tomorrow.
Well, how do you know?
Because the captain told me to have my men ready for dress review by him. I just thought I'd warn you.
Thank you, Sergeant. I appreciate it. But there was really no need.
You don't know. There are the most terrible stories about him. They say he has men with blast guns who follow him everywhere, and when he wants a laugh, he just tells them to blast down anyone they meet. And they do. They say he'd like to kill the general, but he can't, because our general's a match for anyone. And he knows about Lord Broderick. So, you be careful. Watch him.
Thank you, Sergeant. Thank you very much. Now all we need is the bait, and Broderick will bite. Now all we need is the bait, and Broderick will bite.
You say your name is Devers.
That's right. Sir.
So, Devers, it seems our general is fighting an apparently meaningless war with frightful energy over a world at the end of nowhere, which, to a logical man, would seem not worth a single blast of a single gun. Yet the general is not illogical. On the contrary, I would say that he was extremely intelligent. Do you follow me?
I can't say that I do, sir.
Now listen further, then. The general would not waste his ships and men on a sterile feat of glory. Now, if you were my prisoner, and had told me as little as you have told the general, I would slit open your abdomen and strangle you with your own intestines. My, you are a silent fellow. According to the general, even a psychic probe made no impression. Well, Devers, I too have a psychic probe, one that ought to suit you particularly well.
That looks like money.
It is money. The best money in the Empire, because it is backed by my own estates, which are more extensive even than the Emperor's. 100,000 credits. Here. Yours.
Well, for what? All trade goes in two directions.
For what? For the truth. What is the General after?
What do you mean, what's he after? The Empire, of course.
How will beating these barbarians give him the Empire?
Look, the Foundation has secrets. Uh-huh. Books, old books. So old that their language is known only to a few. And the secrets are shrouded in ritual and religion. And none may use them. I tried. And now I'm here. And there's a death sentence waiting for me there.
I see. And these old secrets. Come, for 100,000 credits, I deserve more information than that.
The transmutation of elements.
I have been told that practical transmutation is impossible by the laws of atomics.
Oh, so it is if atomic forces are used. There are sources of power greater than the atom. If the Foundation had used those sources as I suggested...
The General is, I am sure, aware of all this. But what does he intend doing once he finishes this skirmish?
With transmutation, he controls the whole economy of your empire. Mineral holdings will be worthless when Rios can make tungsten out of aluminium and iridium out of iron. There'll be the greatest economic upheaval the empire has ever seen, and only Rios will be able to control it. He's got the Foundation by the scruff of the neck now, and once he's finished it, he'll be emperor. Within 2 years.
So, Do you know that the Foundation has been in communication with the General?
Huh?
You're surprised. Well, why not? They offered him 100 tons of iridium a year to make peace. No wonder our rigidly incorruptible General refused, when he can have the iridium and the Empire as well. You have earned your money, trader. But one reminder. My servants here have neither middle ears, tongues, education, nor intelligence. They can neither hear, speak, nor write. But they are very expert at interesting executions. I have bought you for 100,000 credits. Should you at any time repeat our conversation to Rios, you will be executed. My way.
Welcome, gentlemen. Sit down. Now, I haven't much time. In the first place, Patrician, your Selden is losing.
Indeed.
Well, to be sure, he battles well, for every planet is defended viciously, and one's taken is as much trouble to hold as to conquer. But they are taken, and they are held. Selden is losing.
He has not yet lost.
Oh, the Foundation itself retains less optimism. They offer me millions in order that I may not put this Selden to the final test.
So rumor has it.
Does it also mention that Lord Broderick is now second in command? At his own request.
His own request? How did that happen? Or are you getting to like the fellow?
No. It's just that he bought the office at what I consider to be a fair price.
Which was?
A request to the Emperor for reinforcements.
So, he's communicated with the Emperor, has he? And I take it that you're just waiting for those reinforcements, that they'll come in a day now, right?
Wrong. They have already come. 5 ships of the line with a personal message of congratulation from the Emperor and more ships on the way. What's wrong, traitor?
Nothing.
The news would seem to disturb you. Now, surely you have no sudden birth of interest in the Foundation?
No.
There are strange points about you. You were caught easily. You surrendered at first blow with a burnt-out shield. You're quite ready to desert your world, and that without a price. It's very interesting, Wallace, isn't it?
I'm praying to be on the winning side. You called me a sensible man.
You did. But no traitor has been captured since. Are you the only sensible man? You neither fight nor flee, but turn traitor without urging. You are unique, amazingly unique. In fact, suspiciously unique.
I take your meaning, but you have nothing on me. I've been here 6 months now, and I've been a good force.
There you have, and I've repaid you by good treatment. I've left your ship undisturbed and treated you with every consideration, yet you fall short. Freely offered information, for instance, on your gadgets might have been more helpful.
I'm only a trader, not a technician. I sell the stuff, I don't make it.
Well, there, we shall find out. It is what I came here for. I brought with me the psychic probe. It failed before, but contact with the enemy is a liberal education. You, trader, will remove your wristband. Thank you. Yes, what is it?
A communication for you, General.
Very well, send. You too, Patrician. Thank you. I'm not vindictive. But I shall judge the fate of your family by the results of the psychic probe. But first, this communication. Excuse me.
Grab it, Master! Right, now, out to you quickly!
Where to now?
Your ship world.
Well, how are we going to find it in this maze?
Ask, of course. No words, please, Sergeant. I'll have to use this.
What the... The blaster. That's the General's blaster. You killed the General!
I'm sorry, Sergeant. Come on, Barr. Let's get to the ship and we'll see if they've got one to match my speed.
Have we lost them?
Yes. Long ago. They couldn't have followed us. They haven't got the power. I don't know what they've done to the ship, though. Some of the gaps are out of alignment.
I take it you're trying to get to the foundation.
Yes. But I'm having to use directional control at the moment. Still, I have been in touch with the association briefly.
Association?
The Association of Independent Traders. What Rio said was true.
About the offer of tribute?
Mm-hmm. They offered it and had it refused. Things are bad. They've been fighting large ships previously never encountered, which means that Rios wasn't spinning as a yarn. He has received more ships. Broderick has switched sides, and I've miscalculated the whole thing.
So much for improvisations, then. We can't cut through the Imperial lines to return to the Foundation. We can do nothing but wait patiently.
Wait? You're still satisfied to wait, even with the Imperial Navy where it is?
I would wait in perfect confidence, even if they'd landed upon the planet Terminus itself.
It can't work like that. They're strong and we're weak. What can Seldon do about it?
There's nothing to do. It's already done.
Maybe. But I wish you'd finished off Rios.
Have Broderick take Amar with Orsi Wenna, his hostage? No. Let Rios live.
For 6 months in the enemy base with nothing to show for it.
Well, now, wait. What about this? The message capsule Rio's received. Does that count as something?
I don't know. It depends what's in it.
What are you doing?
Opening it.
Can you, without Rio's personal characteristics?
Well, if I can't, I'll resign from the association. A capsule's a crude job, anyway. You ever see a Foundation capsule? Half the size and impervious to electronic analysis. Got it? It's from Broderick. Message medium's permanent. In a Foundation capsule, the message would be oxidized to gas within a minute.
What does it say?
From Amal Broderick to General Bel Rios. I greet you. Planet 1220 no longer resists. Plans of offense as outlined continue smoothly. The enemy weakens visibly and the ultimate ends will surely be gained.
It says nothing. Now Broderick's playing a general, the empty-headed peacock.
Oh, wait a minute, hold on.
Throw it away.
Now, will you hold on? Now, what does he mean by ultimate ends in view?
The conquest of the Foundation.
Now, we know that. But does the Emperor?
What do you mean?
I'll show you. Now, there's no one in the Empire who can open this capsule without knowledge of the personal characteristics of Rios.
No.
Well, the Emperor can open it, can't he? Personal characteristics of government officials must be on file.
Hush, the Majesty.
Then when you, a Suenian patrician and a peer of the realm, tell the Emperor that Broderick and Rios are planning to depose him and hand him this capsule as evidence, what will he think Broderick's ultimate ends are? Do first.
Do you know how many people want to see the Emperor every day? About 1 million. Do you know how many he sees? About 10. I have to work through the civil service, and that makes it even harder, but we can't afford the aristocracy.
We have almost 100,000 credits.
A single peer of the realm would cost us that. It would take at least 3 to form a bridge to the Emperor. It may take 50 supervisors and commissioners to do the same, but they would only cost us 100 apiece. I'll do the talking. You don't know the etiquette of imperial bribery. But it's going to take time.
Well, how long?
A month, if we're lucky.
A month?
Finding the Emperor doesn't take it into his head to go to the summer planets, where he sees no petitioners at all.
The Foundation?
The Foundation will take care of itself.
But the Emperor is indisposed, gentlemen. It is useless to take the matter to my superior. His Imperial Majesty has seen no one in a week.
He will see us. It is only a matter of seeing some member of the Privy Council.
Impossible. Been more than my job's worth. I'm willing to help, you understand, but naturally I want something less vague. Something I can present to my superior.
If my business could be told to any but the highest, it would scarcely be important enough to rate an audience with his Imperial Majesty. I propose that you take a chance.
That's all very well, but...
Naturally, such a risk should have its compensation. We have already been greatly obliged by your kindness, but if you would allow us to express our gratitude in advance...
Backed by the Privy Secretary, eh? Good money.
I'm happy that it's satisfactory. To return to the subject...
No. We know more about you than you think. Is it not true that you have recently been the guests of General Rios? Is it not true that you have escaped from the midst of his army with, to put it mildly, astonishing ease? Is it not true that you possess a small fortune in notes backed by Lord Broderick's estates? In short, is it not true that you are a pair of spies?
I deny the right of a petty commissioner to accuse us of crimes. We shall leave.
You will not leave. I am no commissioner. I am a lieutenant of the Imperial Police, and you are under arrest.
Police? I'm afraid I have no choice, Lieutenant. Quick! To the ship!
Can you get away from them?
Just watch me. There's not an Imperial ship that could follow me anywhere. But there's nowhere left for us to run. And we can't fight the whole Empire. What's there to do? What can anyone do?
No one has to do anything. Have a look at this new ship. It's all over.
Recalled and arrested? Broderick and Rios... Why?
It doesn't say, but what does it matter? The war with the Foundation is over and Siwena is up in revolt. We'll get the full details in one of the provinces later. Now, if you don't mind, I'll get some sleep.
Devers, I must congratulate you. Your mission succeeded beyond my wildest dreams.
Thank you, Forel. But it wasn't my doing. It is Lord Barr here you have to thank.
Not true, Devers. I did nothing at all. It was inevitable from the first.
But you went to Trantor?
Yes, sir, we did.
Oh, surely that must have been the reason for Rio's recall.
But we never saw the Emperor. The reports we picked up on our way back concerning the trial showed it to be the purest frame-up. Rios was accused of being tied up with subversive elements of the Imperial Court.
And he was innocent?
Heavens, yes. Broderick was a traitor in principle. But even he was never guilty of the specific charges brought against him. It was a judicial farce, but a necessary, inevitable, predictable one.
You are not clear, Lord Barr.
Well, you see, sir, you and Devers had the idea that beating the Empire meant prying apart the Emperor and his general. You tried bribery and lies, you appealed to ambition and fear, but you got nothing for your pains. And all through this threshing up of tiny ripples, the Selden wave continued onward, quietly but quite irresistibly. The dead hand of Harry Selden was guiding all of us. He knew that a man like Rios would have to fail, since it was his very success that brought failure.
I can't say that you're getting any clearer.
Just look at the situation. A weak general could never have endangered us, obviously. A strong general during the reign of a weak emperor would never have endangered us either, for he would have turned inwards towards a much more fruitful target. So it's only the combination of strong emperor and strong general that can harm the Foundation. For a strong emperor cannot be dethroned easily, and a strong general is forced to turn outwards, beyond the frontiers.
I see.
But what keeps the emperor strong? It's because he permits no strong subjects. Rios won victory, so the Emperor became suspicious. Why did Rios refuse a bribe? Why did his most trusted courtier suddenly favor Rios? Very suspicious. So, he was recalled, accused, condemned, and murdered. The Foundation wins again. There is not a conceivable combination of events that does not result in the Foundation winning. It was inevitable. What
whatever Rios did and whatever we did.
You haven't proved your point yet. What if the Emperor and the General had been the same person?
I can't prove anything. I haven't mathematics, but I appeal to your reason. What would happen to even a strong Emperor who preoccupied himself with wars at the extreme end of the galaxy? How long would he have to remain away from the capital before somebody raised the standard of civil war and forced him home? I once tell Rios that not all the strength of the Empire could sway the dead hand of Hari Seldon.
Then the Empire can never threaten us again.
That's how it seems to me.
Then there are no more enemies.
There's the second foundation.
At the other end of the galaxy, not for centuries.
Perhaps there are internal enemies.
Are there? Who, for instance?
People, for instance, who might like to spread the wealth a bit and keep it from concentrating too much out of the hands of those that work for it. See what I mean?
Title: Foundation. Foundation and Empire, Second Foundation. Author: Isaac Asimov. Audio adaptation: Patrick Tarver. Part number: 4. Part title: The General. Belrios, Dinsdale Landon. Lucan Barr, Peter Howell. Latham Devers, Michael Harbour. Broderick, Martin Friend. Senate Forel, Ronald Herdman. Cleon II, William Fox. Lieutenant Brant, Michael Kilgarrick. First Trader, Hayden Jones. Second Trader, John Ruddock. Encyclopedic Readout, David Baller. Producer, David Kane. Location, BBC Radiophonic Workshop. Foundation and Empire, Second Foundation. Author, Isaac Asimov. Part number 5. Part title, The Mule. Encyclopedia Galactica 116th edition. Entry, The Mule. Probably the most important single threat to the Seldon Clan was posed by the mutant known to history simply as The Mule. Less is known about the Mule than about any other figure of comparable significance in all galactic history. His real name is unknown. His early life and origins mere conjecture. Even the period of his greatest renown is known to us almost entirely through the eyes of his antagonists, and principally from the observations of a young Foundation bride.
Welcome to Haven.
Oh, Torren, it's beautiful.
I think so. It's only a small city, of course, compared to the Foundation. There's not much in the way of shops or entertainment. But there's no secret police, either.
It's beautiful. It's just like a toy city, all white and pink and so clean.
Torren!
There's Father over there.
Oh, Torren! Great to see
you. Great to see you again, Father. Well...
What about some formal introductions?
Yes, yes, this is Beta. Beta, my father.
Hello.
Fran.
Fran.
And this venerable gentleman is my Uncle Randu.
Hello.
Hello. We've heard a lot about you.
Really?
Oh, Torren couldn't write about anything else. He even sent me a crystal of you. Oh, I thought you were beautiful then, but you look much better in the flesh.
Thank you.
To tell you the truth, Peter, I've been worried about Torren. I never really thought he knew what he was up to.
Is he still chasing young women, Uncle Randu?
When he's not sleeping or eating.
You just pick up the luggage and walk, Randu.
I'm going to have to watch you, Father.
Watch and learn, son.
You see, next birthday he'll be 60.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he'd have acquired a little dignity by now, a little self-restraint at least. But no, not a chance. He's a throwback to the original traders, that's my opinion. Though I must say, with all respect, she's a very desirable woman, your wife.
Thank you.
Oh, what a meal. Delicious. My compliments to the chef.
Yeah, I haven't eaten so well in months. All I want to do now is lie back and sleep.
Well, before you drop off altogether, I'll make some coffee.
Yeah, you will not enter my kitchen while you're in
here. Sit down. You cook the meal. That's enough for one day at your age.
Oh. Really? Well, I like your woman, Torren. But even so, I'm not sure I agree with the extreme act of marriage. I never did such a thing.
You were never in one place long enough to establish residence requirements.
It's largely a legal formality, Father. The situation has its conveniences.
Mainly for the woman.
Anyway, it's Torren's decision. Marriage is an old custom among the foundationers.
The foundationers are not fit models for honest traders.
But my wife's a foundationer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ah.
There we are. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beta, have you studied history?
I was the despair of my teachers, but I learned a bit eventually.
Oh, a citation for scholarship, that's all.
What did you learn?
You want me to tell you everything?
No, just use your knowledge to make a judgment. Is the galactic situation as bad as it appears to be?
No, ignore him. He's just trying to ruin our digestions.
I think we're close to another Selden crisis.
Really? I was on the Foundation as a student, and I remember we were always expecting a Selden crisis then. But nothing happened. So why do you think that we're close to a crisis now?
Well, the world Selden lived in was falling apart, dying because of inertia, despotism, and the maldistribution of goods and wealth.
Yes.
Selden foresaw an inevitable collapse, followed by a period of barbarism. So he devoted his life to trying to shorten that period of barbarism.
And so he established the two foundations, and honor be to his name. And I went to school, too, for a while.
Now, our foundation was so situated in space, and the historical environment was such that within only 1,000 years, it was to become the foundation of a new and greater empire.
Beta Uncle Randu knows all
this. In the 100 years since the last Selden crisis, almost every vice of the old empire has reappeared within the foundation. We are suffering from exactly the same three diseases that killed the empire. Mm. Inertia. Our ruling class knows only one law, no change.
Yeah.
Despotism, they know only one form of argument, force.
Quite
and
right.
Maldistribution, the ruling class has only one plan for the future, to grab everything for themselves.
Exactly, while others starve. Beta, you're no fool, girl, you're right. The monopolists of the Foundation sit on their money bags while we, the traders who won them their wealth in the first place, we live out our lives in genteel poverty on provincial little planets like Haven. Generation after generation never knowing even a slight improvement.
Your father's a kind of latter-day Latham Devers.
Latham Devers was the greatest trader in history. And those cutthroats and their paid thugs who rule the Foundation then and now, they killed him because he loved justice. And for that, and for 1,000 other crimes, they owe us a debt of blood. And by galaxy, that debt will be paid one day.
Beta, go on with what you were saying before he gets his breath back.
There's nothing much to go on about. There must be a crisis, but I don't see how there can be. There are some progressive forces on the Foundation, but they're very weak. And you traders may have the will to rebel, but you're broken up and weak too. Perhaps if all the forces of goodwill in and out of the Foundation could combine and work together...
No, child, no. There's no hope within the Foundation. None. There are those who whip and those who are whipped. That's all.
Dad, you've never been to the Foundation. You know nothing about it. The political underground there is made up of people with just as much courage as any trader.
Now,
before you say anything else, I'd better tell you Bater's a member of the underground, and so am I.
All right. No offense.
The trouble with you, Father, is you've got a provincial outlook. You think just because a few traders get together on some completely unwanted planet like Haven and then refuse to pay their taxes to the Foundation, you think that means something?
Well, it means something to us. Not one Foundation tax collector has ever got a single coin out of Haven. Now, that means something to
us. And what would you do if the Foundation ever sent more than just a single tax collector? And if they sent a whole fleet to collect the taxes?
We'd blast them to pieces.
So, once the Foundation decided it was worth its while to deal with Haven, you'd be smashed within days, within minutes.
They'd never be able to.
The traders need allies inside the Foundation, just as much as the Foundation underground needs you.
The boy's right, Fran. You know he is. You don't like it, and neither do I. Torren, I'll tell you why I started all this.
Yeah?
Recently, we've had two visits from Foundation tax collectors. Oh. The local people made sure they got nothing, but they'll be back in strength.
That.
Your father knows all this, Torren. Really, he does. Look at him. Stubborn, but worried. He knows Haven is in trouble. And he knows that against the full force of the Foundation, we're helpless. Yeah. But he just repeats the old formula, blast them to pieces. Really, he knows it isn't as simple as that anymore.
Mm. But what can we do?
Well, we formed a small group of fairly influential citizens, and we've made some contact with other trader planets. We haven't done anything yet, but we've made a start.
But a start towards what?
The most obvious thing would be a rebellion. If we could get all the trader planets to join with us. We've decided that, as you said, there must be a Selden crisis somewhere in the near future. We were rather hoping it would be provoked by one of the periphery warlords getting ambitious enough to attack the Foundation.
Not a chance. Every one of those warlords, no matter how ambitious he is, knows for a certainty that any attack on the Foundation would be simple suicide.
Right.
Belrios of the old Empire was a better man than any of them. He attacked with all the resources of the galaxy, but he couldn't defeat the Selden plan. Is there one warlord who doesn't know the history of the Foundation and those who attack it?
There might be. Just one. Not a Foundation man, not a provincial governor or anything like that, but in the last few months, there have been rumors about a strange man called the Mule.
Mule? Ever heard of him, Torren?
No.
What do you know about him, Uncle?
Oh, very little, really. But we've heard rumors that he's had important victories on the edge of the periphery. The rumors are probably very exaggerated, but all the same, it would be interesting to know more about him. He might have the ability and the intelligence and yet not believe in Hari Seldon's laws. We could perhaps encourage his disbelief in the infallibility of the Foundation if we could make contact with him. He might attack.
Yeah. And if he did, the Foundation would win.
Yes, but not necessarily easily. It might be a crisis, and we could take advantage of it and force concessions from the Foundation dictatorship.
The way Uncle Rando puts it, it'd be worth a try. But how do we contact this Mule?
That's where we can use you two. If you're willing.
Willing?
Willing to take a second honeymoon.
We never really had a first honeymoon. We couldn't afford it.
Well, then, now's your chance. We want you to take a honeymoon, all expenses paid, on Kalgan.
Kalgan?
It's a small pleasure planet, only 7,000 parsecs from here. Semi-tropical climate, beaches, beautiful water, entertainments, everything.
But why Kalgan?
We think that that's where the Mule is. Certainly his forces are there. He took it about a month ago, without even a battle, despite the Kalgan warlord's threatening speeches.
Where's the warlord now?
He isn't. Disappeared. Now, what do you say? Will you go?
What do we do when we get there?
You enjoy your honeymoon and find out whatever you can.
If you can actually make contact with the Mule...
We don't expect that, Fran. Mm. If you could just look around... See how the Mule governs, what kind of forces he's got there. Of course, it might be dangerous. We don't know, but it might be.
Torren?
When do we leave?
Ah, that's what I wanted to hear. We'll show these Foundation bureaucrats that the traitor spirit isn't crushed yet.
Captain Han Pritchard of Intelligence. Captain Pritchard.
Your Excellency.
You know why you're here? Disciplinary action has been taken against you by your superior officer. The papers concerning the matter have come in the ordinary course of events to my notice. And since no event in the Foundation is too insignificant to warrant my attention, I took the trouble to ask for further information in your case. You're charged with 3 times refusing to accept an assignment. What have you to say about that?
Excellence, the assignment is not important. There are far more important things to be done, and they are not being done.
Exactly. How do you know they are not being done? Would you care to elaborate?
Excellence, it's obvious. Well, none of my superiors denies that I have experience, ability, and intelligence. And those qualities tell me that we've got our priorities wrong.
Captain, there is no reason to raise your voice. I can be persuaded by logic, but never by volume. And your logic appears to be rather flimsy.
Excellent.
You do not seem to realize that you're arrogating to yourself the right to determine intelligence policy. You are usurping the duties of your superiors.
Excellence, my duty is not to my superiors, but to the state.
Fallacious. Your superior has his superior, who has his superior, which is me, and I am the state. You have therefore disobeyed me, which is an act of treason. However, I am prepared to exercise what you have rightly described as my proverbial justice and to give you an opportunity to explain the cause of your disobedience. I don't want to dispose of a useful intelligence officer if it is at all avoidable. Proceed.
Excellent. For the last year now, I have been living on the planet of Calgon. My instructions were to establish an identity for myself as a retired merchant, then to direct Foundation intelligence activity on Calgon, and to prepare an organization which could act as a check on the foreign policy of the warlord of Calgon.
Proceed.
Excellence. 2 months ago, I returned here. The organization had achieved its purpose, a complete survey of the capabilities of the planet.
Proceed.
The warlord of Calgon had a virtually perfect defense system capable of repelling any attack. Then, 1 month ago, an unknown soldier of fortune captured Calgon without a fight. The warlord made no attempt to defend himself and is now presumed dead or depersonalized. The government of the planet goes on as before. But the head of the state is now this unknown commander, the Mule.
The what?
Excellence, the conqueror of Calgon is called the Mule. Little is known about him, apart from rumors. His father is unknown, his mother died in childbirth, his upbringing was that of a vagabond, his education consisted entirely in drifting around the various tramp planets of the periphery. He has no name apart from the Mule, which is apparently what he calls himself. It seems to signify his immense physical strength and his stubbornness of purpose.
I am not interested in his physique, Captain. What is his military strength?
Excellent. There are rumors of enormous fleets of warships. But so far, he appears to control only a relatively small territory. But the exact limits of his power have not yet been determined.
And what has all this got to do with the assignment you refuse to accept?
Excellence, the Mule must be investigated, and I would be the right man for the job. But instead of that, I'm assigned to some fooling little planet called Haven as some kind of tax collector.
You appear to have made a very partial survey of the situation, Captain. The planet Haven is populated by the descendants of the traders, anarchists, rebels, social maniacs, and other undesirable elements. They claim Foundation ancestry, but they refuse to pay their taxes.
Yes, but anybody...
I do not welcome interruptions, Captain. Now, I am aware that Haven itself is not very important, but they are not alone, Captain. There are dozens of these little planets, all populated by various combinations of the dregs of space, all refusing to accept the absolute authority of my government. This is a test case, Captain. By making an example of Haven, we can persuade the others to accept their proper place in the order of things, obedient servants of our government. But if we fail to crush these impertinent creatures here and now, then they will certainly, certainly make contact with criminal elements within the Foundation. And there are such elements, Captain. Social reformers, Democrats, and other political perverts. Even here. Even here.
Excellence, I have been told all this. But whatever the political implications of these remnants of the traitors, the most immediate danger to the Foundation comes not from them, but from the remnants of the old Empire. The warlords of the periphery still have power, Excellence. And if they are brought together by the mule, either by alliance or by conquest, then that would present us with a very real threat. I should be employed investigating the mule and not sent out on some child's errand collecting taxes from backward planets.
Captain Pritchard! I am going to complete my explanation despite your lack of manners. Now listen carefully. It is a soldier's failing to think that weapons are the real threat and the real defense. The generals of the imperial age and the warlords of the present day are equally impotent against us. Selden's science is based not on individual heroism, as you seem to believe, but on the social and economic trends of history.
Yes, Excellence, but Selden's science is known only to Selden. We ourselves have only faith.
Captain Pritchard, enough! The facts are quite clear, quite simple. Selden guarantees victory over any warlord who might attack the Foundation. But with the descendants of the traitors, the matter is more complex. We are the Foundation, but so in a way are they. A war with them would be civil war. Selden's plan does not guarantee the outcome of a civil war. The Foundation would survive, but this government might not. So you have your orders. You will obey those orders. You may be excused.
We're getting absolutely nowhere. There might just as well be no mule at all for all the difference he seems to have made. Everybody says that things are just as they always were, except nobody's seen the old warlord of Kalgan since the takeover. But then nobody's seen the mule either. He doesn't live in the palace. He doesn't make speeches. He doesn't even tour the planet. He might not even be on Kalgan at all. Might have left, or he might never have been here.
Oh, all right, we'll go back, but not today, eh? Tomorrow, maybe. Now, just relax, lie back, let the sun do you good.
Oh! Oh.
Hey, look at that!
What?
That acrobat over there.
Oh, he's just another of those beach entertainers. There are hundreds of them.
Yes, but he's the best I've ever seen. Oh. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
He should be in a circus. He's good enough.
He looks like he'd been broken into pieces and put together again, but the parts don't quite fit. Like a big puppet.
Oh,
don't give him anything.
Don't worry, my lady. I'm not here for money. I just want to stare at your beauty for a moment. The most beautiful eyes I've ever seen. Ever. My lady, in the ancient days, you would have been a goddess.
Torin, give him a 5-credit piece.
Oh, all right.
My lady, I did not speak for money. I simply spoke the truth. You have kindness, intelligence, and a loveliness I've never seen before. All in your eyes. My lady, do you want me to go? Or may I stay and beg your help in
my
trouble?
Look, if money's your trouble, well, it's my trouble too.
Let him talk.
What's he
gonna... Please. Now, what is your trouble?
The guards are looking for me.
Why? Is it illegal to entertain people on the beach?
No, my lady. But it is forbidden to leave the service of the mule.
The mule?
What do you say?
I ran away, my lord. I thought I could just take my freedom. But ever since, I've been more terrified than I was in his service. I've looked at every face, looking for someone who might help me. I believe I've found that help now. In your eyes, my lady.
Did you say you served the mule?
For as long as I could bear it, sir. But always looking for an escape.
I'd like to help. We both would. But really, I don't see how we can.
We're strangers here.
Have you actually seen him?
Seen him? Sir, I served the mule. I was his clown, his fool, his toy.
Stop that man!
No, no!
Hold him!
No!
Hold him!
No, no, protect me, my lady. My lord, wait. Protect me.
So, now, got you at last, eh, worm?
Take your hands off.
What? Take your hands off him.
He was entertaining us. He's causing no one any trouble.
Do you know what he is? Or what he was, rather?
Look,
this creature
is.
Was the favorite clown of our lord and master. And my mule doesn't like it when his toys run away. He doesn't like it at all. So I'm taking him back for punishment. You've just seen his final performance. Come on, worm.
Leave him alone.
My lord.
I didn't think I'd need this, but the Foundation recommend it to all their citizens who travel to less civilized parts of the galaxy.
The Foundation?
Yes. This man is a friend of mine, and I want him to stay with me. Now, you can either attempt to use force and risk the consequences, or you can just leave and go about your business.
Have you got Foundation identity papers?
At my ship.
I realize I could have you disintegrated for threatening me with that stun pistol.
Do you realize what would happen if you did? Your body would be sent in small pieces as an apology to the Foundation.
I'm going to check this with my commanding officer.
And we're going back to my ship. With our friend...
Magnifico.
Well, we'll know where to find you. But if you make any attempt to leave this planet, you'll be blasted.
Come on, Beta. Let's get back to the ship.
Come on, Magnifico.
Oh, thank you, my lady. Please bless me and bless me.
To seal the outer door. Now this one. Right. For the moment, we're safe.
Oh, my lord. My lady, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, get up off your knees, man. You're not a slave.
I'm grateful, my lord.
Well, don't be too grateful yet. We're still on the mule's planet, don't forget.
What's going to happen now?
I don't know. I'll just have to wait and see.
Well, whatever happens, I thought you were superb, standing up to that guard like that.
Superb, superb. The mule, he's coming for me.
I've got to let them in, you know. We're only visitors here.
Wait, let's have a look at them on the scanner first.
All right. Seems to be only one of them. I should inform you this is a Foundation ship and is consequently Foundation territory by interspace treaty.
I know all that. Just let me in.
You'll enter with your hands empty and in the air.
All right, agreed. Now let me in.
That's not the mule. It's just a man.
Exactly. I am not the mule, and I'm not armed. And I come in peace. I'm here to help you, if you'll let me.
Who are you?
I was on the beach. I saw what happened, and I followed you back here.
I said, who are you?
I'm a citizen of the Foundation, and unlike you, I have my papers to prove it.
You implying that I'm not...
I'm not implying anything. I'm stating facts. You are a citizen of Haven. Your wife is the only Foundation citizen on this ship, and she is known to be a member of the Democratic Resistance Movement. You got out of Terminus recently, didn't you?
You know a lot.
I believe that the password the week you left was Sultan Hardin and Freedom.
How do you know
Porker
that?
Porker at Heart was your section leader. I, too, am a section leader. Yes, it doesn't matter under what name. The underground spreads widely and in some unexpected direction. My official position is Officer of the Foundation Department of Information, Captain Han Pritchard. Well, may I sit down?
Of course.
Thanks. Now, I know a lot about today's events. I know that the mule's clown escaped. I know that his security forces are ransacking the planet. I saw you preventing the guard from arresting that man. He fits the clown's description pretty well.
Oh, no.
But I don't know why you should be risking your lives to hold on to him. Yes. Well, I didn't think you'd tell me. But if you're waiting here for the mule himself to come with armed guards and fanfares and such like, relax. The mule doesn't work that way.
How do you know that?
I've been trying to contact him myself. Although I've done a rather more thorough job of it than you two amateurs, I didn't get anywhere either.
Fritcher, what do you want?
I'm offering you a deal. An exchange. You have the clown. He's important. He's one of the very few people in the galaxy who's actually seen the mule. He's important to me.
Don't let them take me, my lord.
No. I need him to try to get the idiots who govern the Foundation to open their eyes. I risked my life coming to Kalgan instead of going where I was told to go. But if I return with concrete evidence of the power of the mule, I can save my own neck and the Foundation.
Why should we help you save the Foundation? Why should we help defend a dictatorship?
You mentioned a deal, an exchange.
You let me take the clown to the Foundation, and I'll help you get away from Kalgan.
Now wait. How do we know the mule will be a worse dictator than the Foundation bureaucrats?
Well, it's... Send the clown out of the room a moment, would you?
My lady.
Please, Magnifico. Would you go through to the dining area? Through there. You'll find food and drink in the cabins.
Yes, my lady. For you, I'll go.
Now, the proof that the mule would be even more of a dictator than fat little Inver is already.
All right. The mule is never seen, right? Why not? He's certainly shrewd enough to know the value of a personality cult, the glamour of public demonstrations and such like. Mm-hmm. If he denies himself all that, there must be a reason. Personal contact would reveal something of overwhelming importance, something he wishes to hide.
The mule is not a human being.
The mule is a mutant. I don't know the extent of his mutation or exactly what his powers are, but he's clearly not a subhuman mutant. In a matter of months, he's come from nowhere, from nothing, to be the ruler of a fair slice of the periphery of the galaxy, right? Now, the question is, can such a genetic accident as the mule, apparently with superhuman capabilities, perceptions, or even powers, we don't know, but can that kind of one-in-a-billion accident be taken into account in the Selden plan?
If the mule is superhuman, why didn't his guards just kill us on the beach?
I don't know. He may not be ready for the Foundation yet.
What do you mean?
It's a sign of intelligence to resist provocation until you're ready to take action. Believe me, the mule will be far more dangerous than Mayor Inver simply because he's more able, more intelligent. Now, suppose you let me speak to the clown.
Magnifico.
My lady.
Could you please come here? This man wants to ask you some questions. Would you try to answer them, please?
For your sake, my lady.
Right. Now, you've seen the mule with your own eyes, haven't you?
I have respected, sir, and felt the weight of his arm with my whole body.
Can you describe it?
It's frightening even to recall him, respected sir. He is a mighty man. Against him, you look like an undernourished child. His hair is crimson. His teeth are like diamonds. And his eyes, respected sir, no one sees.
What? What do you mean?
He covers them with black eye covers. It is said he can see by magic, transcending all human vision. I have heard that he kills with his eyes. It is true. As I live, it is true.
All right, Preacher. Get us out of here and we'll bring Magnifico to the Foundation.
Good. We'll use this ship. I'll leave mine behind. Let's see. These controls. I'll have to work some pretty maneuvers to get us away from the mule's patrols. I can't guarantee anything.
Whatever happens, we can't stay here.
True. So let's start working out our tactics and our route.
Encyclopedia Galactica, 116th edition. Entry, Ebling Mies. In a period where the survival of the Foundation still rested upon the superiority of its technology, respect was given to those who worked in the field of pure science. And in this field, no one commanded more respect than Professor Ebling Mies.
Aha, you're hiding in here, eh?
I have never hidden from anything in my life. This is my office, Professor. Mm-hmm. You were not invited to enter, but I will forget that intrusion on one condition, that you leave immediately.
Well, I did have something to tell you, Mr. Mayor, but...
I am usually addressed as Excellence, Professor.
If I leave now, Mr. Mayor, you'll never know what I came to tell you.
Any request for an audience is to be submitted in triplicate to the appropriate office. Well. Any unauthorized entry into my presence may be construed as being an attack on my person, which, of course, constitutes a clear case of treason punishable as such.
Right. Probably wasn't all that important after all. Just a little something about the next Selden crisis, but forget it.
Miss, I have decided to be tolerant with you. You may have the privilege of addressing me briefly.
You know what I've been doing lately.
Your investigations into the mathematics of psychohistory have been intended to duplicate Harry Seldon's work, with the eventual aim of tracing the course of future history for the use of the planning department of this government.
You actually read these reports?
I read everything. Nothing is too insignificant for my attention.
Oh, you're a great man for insignificant things.
Miss, we have established that I am very well acquainted with your research. Now come to the point.
I thought it was about time I told you what's not in the reports.
Not in the reports?
I mean what I've really been doing.
What you've really been doing?
The Inver. You're an offensive little man at the best of times. Sure. When you will insist on interrupting me with this curious echo effect, I get this uncontrollable urge to knock your head off.
So really?
Sit down. Shut up. Close your mouth and listen. Now, as any intelligent biped realized long ago, official reports are only important for what is not reported in them. So what I have to tell you now is not in any report and never will be. Even my assistants know nothing about it, right? Good. Now, a few words about the time vault. For every crisis, Selden has prepared a special simulation of himself to help us to clarify the situation, to help us to understand. Four crises so far, and four appearances in this vault.
I know all about
it. First time, he appeared at the height of the crisis. Second time, just afterwards. At the third and fourth crises, he was ignored, probably because he wasn't needed. But recent investigations, not included in my reports, of course, indicate that he did appear anyway at the proper times, even though he was ignored. Now, get it? Selden always appears at a crisis. Now, officially, I've been trying to recreate the science of psychohistory. But taking advantage of your generous research grants, and taking advantage of your almost legendary ignorance, I have made some small advances in studying the time vault. And from my study, I'd say it was getting itself ready for another appearance by Selden.
What?
Which means that we are now quite close to the fifth Selden crisis.
Close? How close?
Well, the control computer has double-checked most of the major circuitry, but there's still some things it hasn't done.
How close?
4 weeks.
That's not possible.
4 weeks and 1 day, to be precise.
Do you understand what that means?
It means you're in trouble.
For a crisis to come to a head in 4 weeks means it must have been growing for years.
Right.
But there isn't anything. There's nothing hanging over us. Look at that. That's my weekly summary of the entire galactic situation. And all our most pressing foreign policy initiatives in progress at the moment. There's nothing there that is even vaguely threatening. It's all small-scale routine business, and it's all under perfect control. Look, see for yourself. Now, where's your crisis going to come from, eh? Eh? What is it?
Your Excellence, Captain Han Pritchard of the Intelligence Department has just returned from Planet Kalgan. In accordance with your order X20/513, he's been imprisoned pending execution. Those accompanying him are being held for questioning.
Well, well.
Forgive me, Your Excellence, but Captain Pritcher reported dangerous conditions on Kalgan. In accordance with your order X20/515, he has not been given any formal hearing, but his remarks have been recorded and a full report filed.
What are you trying to tell me, idiot?
Your Excellence, I do most humbly beg your forgiveness, but it appears that one of the people with Captain Pritcher is the missing member of the court of the new warlord of Kalgan, known commonly as the Mule.
Well, if he is the man the Mule wants back, put him in a ship and send him back.
No, no.
It appears to be a little too late for that, Your Excellence.
Yeah, what do you mean?
We are just receiving reports from the Selenian frontier region. Ships identified as of Kalgan origin have entered Foundation territory.
Gosh!
The ships are armed and some fighting is reported. What action should be taken, Excellence? Excellence?
Look, get Pritchard and the people with him up here immediately. Here, immediately.
Yes, Your Excellence.
Well, Wimber, you're going to be a very busy little man for the next 4 weeks and one day, aren't you?
Gentlemen, this assembly of the representatives of the independent trader planets has been called for one purpose, and one purpose only. To decide as a matter of urgency our military policy and the commitment of our allied armed forces. The war between the Foundation and the Mule has now been underway for 3 weeks and one day. All the information we have points to the fact that the Mule is winning. My brother Fransart will outline the situation.
In 3 weeks and one day of total warfare, the Mule has lost a maximum of 10 ships. His forces have destroyed 15 times that number of Foundation ships. Even more serious, there have been repeated cases of Foundation forces deserting to the Mule. In one case, an entire fleet and its command ship. The Mule now controls some 90% of the periphery of the galaxy and several important planets much closer to the Foundation and closer to us. Gentlemen, the Mule is winning. The war is spreading. And it's spreading in our direction.
Now, gentlemen, so far we have been neutral in this war, and so far we have not been attacked. But the time is fast coming when we must choose. The Mule or the Foundation. I know, our original intention was to achieve exactly the present situation. To encourage a war which would weaken the Foundation's grip on our planets and allow us to insist on a proper democratic equality between the Foundation and ourselves. But the Mule is doing more than just weakening the Foundation's power. He is bleeding the Foundation to death. And we must decide what our position would be if the Mule were to conquer the Foundation. I know it seems unthinkable, but we have to think about it. The time has come to commit the traitors' armed forces in this war, and to commit them to the defense of the Foundation against the Mule.
No, I want to speak. I want to speak, Randall.
You have the floor.
I am a vow for the world of Neyland. I say it would be a disgrace to our ancestors, the original traders, for us to lift one finger in defense of the fat maggots who rule the Foundation. Let us not betray our ancestors, the martyrs to justice and freedom, like the great Leighton Devers, persecuted, degraded, and finally killed by whom? By the Mule? No, by the fat clerks of the Foundation. Brothers, Randall seems to be saying, better the dictator you know than the dictator you don't know. And I don't agree. I can't imagine any worse government in all the galaxy than the malignant bureaucracy of the Foundation. I don't believe the Mule could be half as bad for us. After all, brothers, look at the facts. Has the Mule ever insulted us? Never. Has he once failed to respect our neutrality? Not once. No, brothers, I tell you plainly.
This message from the commander of our defenses in the second sector.
Well?
The coordinator, Fransart, Planethaven. Prepare yourself, brother. I have just witnessed the total extinction of the planet Nemon by the forces of the Mule. There cannot be any survivors. The planet no longer exists. The attack was entirely without warning or provocation. As I send you this message, the mule ships are regrouping, moving towards my base. Prepare yourselves to face the mule.
By the rose that we make an immediate offer to help the Foundation, and let me commit our entire combined fleet and all the armament we have to help the Foundation smash the mule.
Enabling me to see the prisoners.
You'll pass.
Here, signed by Mighty Inber himself.
Right.
Oh, it's you again.
Yes, me again, but this time I've got good news.
Oh, really?
I've just come from another session with our illustrious mayor. Now, I haven't got time to explain, but he's agreed, reluctantly, to allow you with Torren here to act as observers to the war fleet.
You mean we're free?
Well, free to leave this prison anyway. But that's only you two. Huh? I'll go on with my questioning of Magnifico, and Beta will stay with him to keep him relaxed, cooperative.
Look, if you think I'll leave her here with you...
This isn't the time for personal feelings. The war is obviously going badly, very badly, or else Inver would never have made any concession.
Yeah, that sounds...
And Pritchard, especially, would be dead by now. Now, I admit my main plan was to get Magnifico alone with Beta and myself to get him to talk openly. But your mission as observers could be very important, too. See, nobody here knows anything about the war, apart from vague rumors and the ridiculously optimistic reports from the news media. Mm. You two have a chance to see what's really happening and to let us know.
Well, I can't.
And if it eases your conscience at all, Torren, I can tell you won't just be helping the Foundation. Your Uncle Randu landed a few hours back with an offer of immediate military help from all the trade-up planets. Now, will you go?
Come on, Torren. All right.
But here are your identity passes. Now, leave immediately, and remember, your objective reports on the war could be vital. There's a ship waiting for you. Now go.
I've got to find out what Magnifico knows, Beta. You seem to be the only one he trusts.
But we've already asked him every question we could think of.
I know, and his answers are always the same. He doesn't know anything about the mule beyond what he told Pritchard and you on Calgon. Now, I've got to use the probe on him, but he refuses to let me. So I need your help to persuade him to cooperate, to overcome his fear. Are you willing to help?
I'll try.
Good, he's asleep next door.
All right. Oh. Magnifico.
Oh, it's you, my lady.
Please, for my sake, let the professor use the probe.
What? Oh, my lady, I'm frightened.
I'll be with you. I wouldn't let anyone hurt you.
You will stay with me,
yes,
my lady.
Of course I will. Now, come on.
Very well.
Sit down.
No, all right.
That's it.
Is it?
Now, relax.
You won't feel anything, I promise. Just try to let your mind relax. All right? That's all. All over now, and now we should get a complete printout of your memory within an hour at most.
There. It didn't hurt at all, did it?
No. Thank you, my lady.
Here you are. Here's a present for you.
What's that?
He knows, don't you, Magnifico?
Oh, yes. It's a busy sonar.
Right. Take it. It's yours. I got it from the Museum of Music Sciences, the only one they had.
Oh.
They didn't seem to know much about it. Found in space was all the index card said. It might even be broken for all I know. Try it. Go on. It's yours to keep.
It needs a little tuning, but otherwise, yes, it's operational. How did you know that I could play it?
I asked you the other day if there was anything about the mule's court that you missed. You said nothing at all, but you just wished you hadn't left your busy sonar behind.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh. Would you like me to play for you?
I've got to go and prepare the printout analyzers. Play for Beta.
My lady, would it please you if I played for you?
Yes, please. That was extraordinary. That was very beautiful. Is it always so restful?
No, my lady. That was music I played for you. For someone else, I could play music to make them mad. Or dead, even.
But it's just a box.
I just think the sounds and they pass to you, my lady. I never played it much at the court of the mule. He didn't like it. He knew its power. But I would rather play the Visisona than do anything else in the whole galaxy. Especially with you by my side, my lady. Shall I play you more?
Yes, please.
You look cheerful, Imber.
I haven't slept for days.
Pritchard and Torrens' reports have given you something to think about, eh?
Every single thing they report is in direct contradiction to every official report from every commander.
Yes, that makes sense. But the question is, which do you believe?
That is no concern of yours, Mies. You may rest assured that the state is in good hands. Mine. The war is going well. The Foundation will win. That's all you need to know. Now, what about this probe into Magnifico's memory? You have the results?
Yes.
Show them to me.
There's nothing to show.
Is this another of your infantile jokes?
There is nothing to show. Apart from verbatim repetition of what he'd already told us in conversation, his memory appears to be a complete blank.
This is not possible.
I know it's not possible, but it's a fact. Blank. The only reason I can think of is that his subconscious is so terrified of the mule that it's taken refuge in what's known as protective amnesia. And even so, it's the first case I've ever known where the amnesia is so total.
Why do you lie to me, Mies?
Look, I'm not lying. Why should I lie?
Exactly why. I'll tell you. Because you seem to take pleasure in spreading defeatism, don't you, Mies? No. You enjoy trying to make me despair, don't you? Don't you? Well, let me tell you something, Mies. The Foundation cannot lose, even without my devoted leadership. Harry Seldon's calculations of psychohistory guarantee that the Foundation cannot be defeated.
Why worry, then? If everything is guaranteed, why worry?
You think I'm worried? Me worried? I suppose you know we have the traitor's forces with us now, eh? I tell you, Mies, the mule has overreached himself. He will lose. He must lose. It's inevitable. Absolutely inevitable.
You sound convinced.
Get out. Get out before I disintegrate you.
I'm going. I'll see you in the time ball. Don't forget, will you?
You'll see, Mies. You'll see. Seldon will show you. Seldon will show you.
What a strange place. Yes. The architect is genuine early foundation style.
And that is the time vault.
Seldon appears in the square.
Ah, how
I got you in here. Now tell me, what's the truth about the war?
Well, initially, the trader forces slowed the mule down. But then Inver stopped them fighting as an independent force and mixed them up with the Foundation forces. Huh? The oddest thing we noticed was that the mule seemed to find it much easier to defeat Foundation ships than trader ships. We couldn't see why. Their armaments were virtually identical.
Mm. There's only a few minutes to go. Where's Inver?
Oh, he'll be here. Don't you worry. Probably just making sure of a good entrance. He wouldn't dare miss this.
About the other thing, miss. I've organized the ship for you. It's waiting in Dock 37 Bay G, fully equipped and provisioned, maximum fuel load.
Good man, thanks.
But I won't be coming with you.
Why not?
I'm going to stay here and fight. I've had to watch this war coming, and then I've had to watch our forces being smashed. I want to do my share of the fighting.
Well, it's your choice, but you would have been more useful with us.
Arise, arise, my people. This is no time for ceremony, eh?
This way, young Sir
James. Yes, yes, yes. But before we have our glorious future confirmed by Selden, I should just like to tell you the latest news from the war zone. I have here my very own synopsis of the latest reports from all my commanders in space. It is quite brief. We are moving forward on all fronts. Victory is very close, as I am sure Selden will confirm. Victory, my people! Victory for the Foundation!
Silence, please! The vault is opening.
That old man! Just appearing!
Don't be frightened, my lady.
No, my lady. I am Hari Selden. This is my fifth appearance here, and the fifth crisis for the Foundation on Terminus. I have no means of knowing if anyone is witnessing my appearance here, but that is not important. I have no fears as yet for the breakdown of the plan. For the first 3 centuries, the probability of non-deviation is 95.7%. By the way, if any of you are standing, please sit. This need not be a solemn occasion. I have no need for ceremony. Now, let us look at the problem of the moment. The Foundation is faced with an entirely new kind of threat. Civil war. Until now, the attacks from outside have all been adequately dealt with. Inevitably so, according to the laws of psychohistory. The conflict of the moment is between the undisciplined forces of the outer planets of the Foundation and the over-authoritarian central government. The conflict was necessary. The outcome is obvious.
I don't understand this.
The compromise which has been worked out, or is at this moment being worked out, is necessary in 2 respects. The revolt of the traders introduces a new element of uncertainty to a government which has grown far too self-confident. Although not victorious, the independent traders have attained a healthy degree of democratic government. For themselves and for the Foundation in general. Secondly, and perhaps equally important, the Foundation is now a much stronger, firmer coalition than it was before the Civil War. Now only the scattered remnants of the old empire stand in the way of further expansion, and there is no threat from them. Of course, I cannot reveal the nature of the next problem, the next crisis, but I can congratulate you on having successfully passed through this crisis. And of course I wish you luck in the future. I am confident of your continued success.
But that can't be all. What went wrong? Rondo! Where's Rondo?
I'm here.
You're the trade representative here. Is it true you were planning a revolt?
We were, yes.
Why didn't you?
We changed our plans because of the appearance of the mule.
Mule!
Well, that's it then. Selden's psychohistory couldn't foretell the mule. There was no expectation of an individual mutant appearing. The plan dealt with mass movement trends. It couldn't make any allowance for an individual military genius, especially not a mutant.
Excellence! The communication channels have all gone dead.
This is not my fault. It isn't! Seldon's the one you should blame. And those half-witted traitors. Not me. Not me.
What should we do?
Do surrender, of course. What else can we do? Surrender and try to get a reasonable terms.
But we can't. We've got no way of communicating a surrender.
This is not fair!
Well, the Foundation is being bombarded. We've got to escape.
How? What can we do?
We've got a ship waiting for us. We have to go now. You bring Magnifico. Torren, you come on ahead with me.
All right.
The mule! The mule is coming!
Witcher?
I'll stay and fight. There may be something I can still do.
All right. This is goodbye.
Yes. Good luck, Peter. You need
it. So will you. No, come on now, you two. Follow me.
Follow us wherever we hide. Find us.
See? What did I tell you? Traitors running away. None of this is my fault. Is it? God. My name. I was always so mistaken. So careful, so
painful. Foundation. Foundation and Empire. Second Foundation. Author, Isaac Asimov. Audio adaptation, Mike Stock. Part number 5. Part title, The Mule. Foundation. Foundation and Empire. Second Foundation. Author, Isaac Asimov. Part number 6. Part title, Flight from the Mule. Encyclopedia Galactica, 116th edition. Entry, Terminus. Subscript. The invasion forces of the Mule encountered no opposition when they poured down onto the landing fields of the capital. The proclamation of occupation was made 24 hours after the appearance of Hari Seldon before the former mighty rulers of the Foundation. Now only the planets of the independent traders stood firm, and it was against them that the power of the Mule now turned itself.
Beta, that you?
Yes.
Come out here.
Oh, I'm so tired.
Where have you been?
Down to the Bureau of Production.
Whatever for?
Oh, I just felt I couldn't bear it any longer at the factory. Torren, morale just doesn't exist anymore. The girls are breaking down crying, and those who don't cry complain, and for the last few days there have been two or three saying we ought to make peace with the Mule.
What, surrender?
They say Terminus surrendered. And it seems to be all right for everybody except the mayor. Everything's back to normal.
Normal?
I know. Anyway, I wanted to see if the situation's any better on the rest of Haven, so I went to the Bureau of Production and asked a few questions. It's just as bad. All over Haven. Falling production, increasing absenteeism, and a growing feeling that it isn't worth fighting anymore. Even some sabotage.
Really?
The chief statistician I talked to didn't seem to care much either. Just shrugged and said it was beyond him. You know what all this reminds me of?
No.
It seems as if all these people have that same awful feeling of frustration I had in the time vault, when Selden seemed so irrelevant.
Yeah.
You felt it too, didn't you?
I still do. If I don't resist it.
And it gets harder to resist. Like a voice inside your head. Mm. Like your own private voice. It's pointless to resist the new over and over.
My lady? Mm. Ah, you're back. I'll bring you some food.
Oh, thank you, Magnifico.
Good to see someone who's not depressed. Anyway, it may not be quite as bleak as it seems. Mies is meeting Father tonight. I think they may be working out some kind of resistance.
I hope so. Oh, I'm so tired.
There you are, my lady. Now rest your feet. Lie back. Don't worry. Professor Mies and Commander Francois will come up with something. Have confidence in them, my lady. I have.
Just what none of us do have, Magnifico. Confidence.
Why do we have to meet in the middle of the night?
Don't you sleep anymore?
Hardly. I seem to like the night more than the day just lately. I feel better because I know people aren't looking at me, hoping they'll see some confidence in me that isn't in them anymore.
Mm.
Do you feel it too, this miserable feeling of inevitable defeat?
Oh, everybody feels it. What can you expect? A whole culture has been brought up on the firm, blind belief that a folk hero of the past has planned everything for us, taken care of everything for us. It's quite like the old-time religious beliefs, and you know what that means. People's characters have been affected, even formed, by faith in Selden. They can't change their characters, their personality. But they can't avoid seeing that Selden is no longer watching over us. So, you get hysteria, a morbid sense of insecurity, depression, even insanity. Well, you know the suicide rate is soaring all over Haven.
I know. As if we'd been leaning on Selden, and now without something to lean on, we can't stand up straight because our muscles have atrophied.
Yeah, that's it. Atrophy.
How about you, Mies? What about your muscles?
Well, a lot weaker, rustier than I'd imagined, but not atrophied. Now, the pursuit of my profession has resulted in just a little independent thinking.
Do you see any way out?
No, but there has to be one.
Selden's projection...
Look, Selden failed to guarantee us against the mule, Fran, but he didn't guarantee defeat either. Selden's just out of the game now. We're on our own, and the mule can be beaten.
How?
By attacking in strength, where he's weak.
Where is he weak?
Well, that I don't know yet. But he must have a weakness. Look, Fran, the mule is not a Superman.
He is a mutant.
Well, a mutant doesn't mean Superman, usually the opposite. Look, every year, throughout the galaxy, there are several million mutants born. In the vast majority of cases, their mutation is imperceptible. The rest, whose mutation is obvious, almost all are defective in some way. Freaks, if you like. It's an absolutely minute number who have any advantageous mutation.
It doesn't matter how minute the number is. If the mule is one of them, one is enough.
All right. Let's suppose he does have some attribute, probably a mental attribute, which can be used to his advantage, even to the extent of conquering other people, even other worlds. All right. Maybe he can see in another dimension. Maybe he can read other people's thoughts. All right. It's almost certain that he'll have some corresponding deficiency, balancing his extra ability. I don't know why, but nature seems to work like that. And if he didn't have some serious fault or weakness, he wouldn't be such a recluse, so frightened of showing himself.
In that case, we've got to keep working on the mule's calm.
It's useless. I'm beginning to think he may have been brainwashed, specially so the mule could use him as a pretext for that first attack on the Foundation. Either that, or he's naturally simple-minded, or both. Anyway, it means I must work at what facts I have. There are some strange anomalies there.
Such as?
The mule smashed the Foundation fleets almost at will, right?
Mm.
There were desertions, surrenders, finally a complete breakdown of the will to resist. Now, the fleets protecting Haven and the other enclaves are much weaker than the Foundation forces were, yet there have been no desertions and no retreat. Only the mule's first use of the extinguishing field against the atomic defenses of Neymon, only that, really worked for him. He's never used it successfully against any trader planet since then. And yet against the Foundation forces, it worked again and again. Now, why? It just seems illogical. But it can't be illogical. There must be some factors we're just not aware of.
Treachery?
No. No, friend, look how easily he took Terminus itself. And yet there wasn't a man on that planet who wasn't certain of victory because of the Selden plan. Who would betray a side that was certain to win?
Yes, but now we're certain to lose. But if the mule had 1,000 weaknesses, I still can't see any way that we can...
Do you think Haven can resist the mule?
Yes, we can. We can, but I don't think we will. I'm pretty sure that before long, I'm going to be the only one left on the Governing Council who doesn't want to surrender.
Mm.
That's why I asked to see you, Miss. I want you to leave Haven while there's still time.
Fran,
You are the Foundation's greatest psychologist. You're our only chance of defeating the mule. You can't hope to do that from Haven.
Well?
I think that you should go to what's left of the Empire.
To Trantor?
Yes, to Trantor. The Imperial Library is still there. And I think that there just might be something in that library, some knowledge, some technique that might help you to break through Magnifico's empty memory.
But Magnifico would never go without Beta, and Beta wouldn't go without Torin.
I've arranged a ship that'll take you all.
Ah.
Will you agree to go?
Yes, but... Frankly, as I said, I think Magnifico's memory is a dead end, a permanent vacuum.
Maybe, maybe. But there is another reason for going to Trantor. It's where Selden lived and worked, where he planned the Foundations, both of them. There is another Foundation at the other end of the galaxy, if the myths are true. Now, the library might contain some evidence, some clue as to where it is. That's the most important part of the mission. Selden might not be of any use anymore. But we could still get help from this second Foundation if we could find it. It's our only chance. You must find the second Foundation.
Former captain of Foundation Intelligence, now captain of Liberation Movement.
Sit down. There.
What's the plot, Devil?
You, if you're not who you say you are, or who you think you are.
Who are you?
My name is Aurum Pally.
I gave the code.
I know. You are Han Pritchard. The question is, are you still you?
What?
Sit down.
Thank you.
You remember Levar of Group 3?
Of course. He led the attack on the armaments factory.
He's with the mule.
What?
Together with Gair, Noth, and Walik. So why not Pritchard?
What does it matter?
If they have Noth, they have my name, so it's really you who are in new danger, not me.
If you have no organization here, where can I find one? The Foundation may have surrendered, but I have...
Sit down, Pritchard.
Look, you can't wander forever. Men of the Foundation need travel permits to move around nowadays, you know that? And identity cards, do you have one? And all the officers of the old Navy have been ordered to the nearest occupation headquarters. Have you obeyed that order?
No, look, I'm not running through fear. I was on Calcutta not long after it fell to the Mule. Within a month, not one of its officers was at large, because they were the natural leaders of any revolt. We know that no revolution can be successful without the control of a good part of the fleet.
And evidently the Mule knows it too.
Anyway, I threw out my uniform and grew this beard. I hope perhaps some of the others have done the same. We can meet and act.
Do you want my advice?
If you have any.
I don't know what the Mule is up to, but until now he hasn't harmed the skilled workers. Pay rates have soared and the production of atomic weapons is growing every day.
So the Mule is going to continue his offensive?
Perhaps. Maybe he's just soothing the workers into submission. If Selden couldn't work out the Mule with psychohistory, I'm sure I can't. Now, you're wearing work clothes, right?
But I'm not a skilled worker.
But you have a grounding in atomics.
Yeah?
Well, that's all you'll need. You go to the nearest atomic field equipment plant and tell them you have experience. They won't ask questions. They need all the workers they can get to help with the profits. They'll give you an identity card and workers' accommodation. With that, you will not be questioned. And you can wait until the opportunity for action occurs. Well?
All right, Pally, I'll do it. But remember, I'm not a worker, I'm a soldier. And I won't wait forever. I've wasted in that factory and I could have been doing something.
What? Look, I'll tell you. Sit down, Pritchard.
No.
You've been in that factory, not wasted, for 3 months. Time enough to be ready to do a bit of private work.
What? Private work?
I want you to make a bomb. A very small atomic bomb with time control that can be held under the tongue, right?
Under the... Whose head are you going to blow off?
Yours. We've located the Mule. He's in the ex-mayor's palace. Now, you've been there and know the layout. In fact, you've been in the mayor's private office.
Yeah.
Pritchard, this is our only chance. The Mule has upset Selden's plan. One man, one mutant, has upset all Selden's psychohistory. If he had never lived, the Foundation would never have fallen. If he ceased to live, it would not remain fallen. Pritchard, the Mule must be destroyed.
Do come in. And will you ought to spit out that foolish pellet? It will make it so much easier to talk. It has been neutralized. Now do sit down, Captain.
So you are the Mule?
The Mule? Me? Oh, dear, no.
Oh.
Oh, no, I am just a humble servant, officially known as a viceroy.
How did you know I was here?
We know everything, Captain Pritchard.
You know who I am?
Oh, indeed we do. The Mule's been looking forward to meeting the man who stole his crown. He rather admires you.
Unfortunately, he's absent at the moment, leading the fight against the independent traders, but that shouldn't take long. And he will be pleased to hear of your arrival. I do hope your conversion won't be difficult.
My conversion?
Yes, to the mule.
You won't convert me.
No, I won't. The mule will, if you don't volunteer of your own free will, that is. Either way, you'll soon be back in active service again, out in space. And not as humble captain, either. You will be General Han Pritchard of the Galactic Army of the Mule.
The Mule will not convert me.
But why not? Don't you see, all he's doing is speeding up the Selden plan. He is the fulfillment of the plan, just a little earlier than Selden calculated. Instead of having to wait for another 700 years before the dawn of a new empire, the Mule is doing it now. Just imagine, Richard, one great unified galaxy. Galactic peace and prosperity forevermore. Oh, yes, only a fool could fail to be converted to such a worthwhile cause. Oh, take me, for instance. I was a stubborn fool before. I was independent, yes, what's called free. But not satisfied. Never satisfied. Now, I'm a perfectly contented man. A servant of the Mule. You don't recognize me, do you?
Should I?
Well, you should, really. I know I look different without all the armor and the jewels, but we have met a couple of years ago. On Calgon.
Warlord of Calgon?
That was me. I was a loud-mouthed provincial warlord, and you were an underpaid, undervalued intelligence officer. And now, I am a loyal viceroy of the Mule, and soon you'll be the same. A loyal general, a contented man. Oh, Captain Pritchard, I tell you, we are very fortunate men.
I'm getting something on the headset. Switch in the main system, will you?
What channel?
Green 11.
Have a special announcement. By order of our master, the Mule, Lord of the Galaxy, it is announced that at 07 today, the planet Haven, previously in futile opposition to the Mule's will, finally submitted to our Lord and Master. The surrender was unconditional, and apart from a few isolated and suicidal groups, it was warmly welcomed by the general public. All the citizens of Haven are now freed from their ignorant provincial overlords, free to be the servants of the Mule and citizens of his galactic empire. Praise to the Mule, citizens. Praise to the Mule.
I'm sorry, Tom. I'm truly sorry.
It lasted longer than the Foundation did, anyway. I'm sorry, Bait. Sorry.
My lady, Professor.
Yes, what is it?
The scanner screen, Professor.
Hmm?
The rear view has picked up an object. Come and see. See? Hmm? There. What is it?
Oh, it's a single spaceship. Bigger than we are. Gaining on us, too.
And we're at maximum speed.
Well, let them come alongside. There's no point in making them suspicious. Slow everything down. They'll be here in seconds, the rate they're traveling.
This is Patrol Ship 7 of the Felian world. You're on the space territory of Felia. Identify yourselves immediately.
Aware from the periphery, just
destination.
On a... Trantor sector.
Purpose of voyage.
Oh, just a pleasure trip.
Open your main hatch. I'm coming aboard.
Thank you. How many crew have you?
Just the four of us.
Travel documents?
Well, we have none.
So you have no permit to cross Felian space?
We never intended to come anywhere near Felian.
You have a qualified navigator.
Yes, but
no chance.
I see. Well, that's an offence, of course. Who is your navigator?
I am.
Come with me, please.
Where to?
To my ship. I can give you a travel permit there. 50 credits. And a good chart, too. 100 credits. And, of course, you'll have to pay a fine for division navigation resulting in trespass. 100 credits. Come on, it'll only take a minute or so. And that man, too.
Me? Why, me?
We've had reports of piracy in this area. Your appearance is similar to one of the descriptions of a man wanted for questioning. I shall have to check you through our computer memory.
My lady!
Go with him, Magnifico. Everybody knows you're not a pirate, so you've got nothing to be frightened of.
They'll be back within minutes. Then you can continue your voyage.
Well, oh, thank goodness that's over here. What happened, Torrance?
Just what he said. I bought a 50-credit visa, paid a 100-credit fine, and he sold me a chart of the whole sector.
They're still following us, keeping at a distance.
Yeah. Magnifico, what happened to you?
Nothing, Professor. They made me stand in front of a screen for a moment, but that was all.
I know one thing. That wasn't a Pelian ship. It was a Foundation ship with a Foundation crew.
Foundation?
Yes, the mule is following us.
It's impossible.
It's a Foundation ship, all right. The panels, the engine tone, all the equipment was Foundation design.
Well, then, why didn't they just blast us? Yes. Why let us go?
Professor, yes? If I might, I wasn't going to say anything for fear of seeming foolish, but as we were leaving, I saw a man watching us from the control room. I think he was the commander. Our escort from here bowed to him, and I think it was the man who arranged our escape from Kalgan.
Han Pritchard.
Pritchard.
But he stayed to fight the mule.
Yes, my lady. But the mule has ways of changing a man's mind. I may have been mistaken, of course.
Torren, are they still behind us?
Yep. At a distance, but still following.
Right. Now do everything you can to lose them.
Right.
The mule is looking for the same thing we're looking for, the second foundation. And he's hoping we'll lead him to it. So lose them, Torren, now.
Encyclopedia Galactica, 116th edition. Entry, Neo Trantor. Situation. 2 parsecs from the crumbling ruins of Trantor, the old galactic center of power. During the century after the sack of Trantor, it became the seat of the last dynasty of the First Empire. It was a shadow world and a shadow empire, and its existence is only of legalistic importance.
His Highness, the Emperor Dagobert the Ninth, Lord of all he surveys.
You may rise. We are pleased to have visitors. Not too often we have the opportunity of welcoming provincial visitors. You're most welcome.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
We're usually addressed as Highness.
Oh, I'm sorry, Highness.
We know you provincials have rather rough manners compared to ourselves. Quite natural, really. This is my son, the Prince Dagobert.
Highness?
He's addressed as Your Majesty.
Your Majesty. Are you married?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Happily married?
Very, Your Majesty.
Pity. I like you.
You can't have everyone, you see. Go hunting or something. Get some fresh air and healthy exercise. We wish to discuss important matters with our visitors. Run along.
All right. I could make you happy, though.
Don't you think? A little headstrong, perhaps. A little too much ruled by his emotions, not quite enough by his brain. Still, we were young once. Once. Now, what are we saying? Oh, yes. important matters. Oh, will you all? Will you all be seated? Sit about, will you?
Thank you.
Well, why don't you tell us? Oh dear, my memory.
He's a simpleton. So many rulers are, my lord.
Highness, the purpose of our visit is a very simple one.
Oh, good. We don't like complicated things.
Highness, we came to beg a favor of you.
Mm-hmm.
We want to visit Old Trantor.
Old Trantor? We used to have our palace there. And then we came here. Can't quite remember why.
Yes, Highness, we're interested in visiting the Imperial Library on Old Trantor.
Library? Whatever for?
We're scholars, Highness. We're interested in knowledge, old and new.
Oh, you do surprise us. We have always found that old knowledge is very tedious stuff, and what little new knowledge has come our way has always seemed equally tedious, but rather more dangerous. Still, if that's what you want.
Yeah, it is, Your Highness. Do we have your permission to visit the library?
Oh, certainly. Probably covered in dust, though. Nobody's been near the place for ages. It's much more fun going hunting than dancing, you see. No, we don't suppose you do see strange people, you provincials. Is that all you want, though, just to visit a dusty old library?
That's all we want, Highness.
Well, off you go, then. Off you go. First, important matters. Yes. Well, tell us a little about the state of the galaxy. How are things in your part of our empire?
Well, everything's as you might expect, Pipes.
Oh, that's a healthy sign. Change is a change for the worse, eh? Eh?
Yes, Your Highness.
And you, my dear, which province are you from?
From the Foundation,
Highness. Ah, yes. But whereabouts is that, then? Our empire is so large, you see, that even we are not always quite clear about the outer fringe, so to speak. But do tell us more, my dear, about this Foundation place. What's the hunting like there, eh? All the girls as pretty as yourself. You like a buxom girl, you really do. Tell us, my dear. Who tell us?
Silly old man.
Have you never heard of the mule? Or anything else, really? He actually seems to believe the old empire still exists.
Yeah, I rather like the royal weed.
Sure. Yes, and the way he kept dropping off to sleep. Does the mule use the royal we, Magnifico?
Oh, no, my lady. The mule says I.
Well, come on, let's get to the ship. Yes. I want to get to work.
Stay where you are, all of you.
I'm usually addressed as Your Majesty.
Do you usually threaten guests with a needle gun?
It's not the first time. You think I'm as simple as my father? Well, I'm not. I'm going to be Dagobert the 10th. And I'm not going to wait much longer for that old fool to make way, either. And when I am the Emperor, I'm going to rebuild this empire. I'm going to get it all back, all of it. I won't just be a feeble-minded figurehead. I'll be a real ruler, a real emperor.
What's this got to do with us?
Oh, it's nothing to do with you, old man. Or with you. Or that spindly clown there. But as for you...
Get away from me.
Stay away from her.
Oh, don't be shy, girl. I'll be good for you. I'm strong, healthy, rich, and I'll be powerful, too. I shall be the emperor, and you... Well, if you're very good, you can be the Empress. And what do you say? Disfigure him a little.
Oh.
Now, what have you got there, clown?
Oh, this.
A busy solo, Your Majesty, that's all.
Can you play it?
Yes, Your Majesty. Would you care to hear?
Well,
it might make my lady more friendly.
What? Music?
Well, yes, Your Majesty. This is no ordinary music. It can change people's minds.
All right. Play me something. Play something nice for the girl. Oh, that's nice. That's very nice. You like it, girl?
Cover your ears, my lady.
I'll take his gun.
What?
Take the gun and throw it outside. Professor, help me with the body. Torren, take the lady.
Yes, come on.
Put him outside. Outside. All right?
Yes, that sound magnifico, that terrible sound.
Yes, I'm closing the hatch.
I still can't hear properly.
I'm sorry, my lord. I couldn't get him without some effect on you, but you'll be all right in a short while. It was aimed at him, not you.
What was it?
It was a traditional piece, my lady. I learnt it when I was a child. It is the music of death.
You mean he's dead?
Yes, Professor.
But how?
I don't know. I'm only the ignorant player, Professor.
Magnifico, did he have to die?
Oh, yes, my lady. He insulted you. Are you angry with me?
Not angry. Just...
Well, I'm grateful. Thank you, Magnifico.
I'm happy to repay a small part of my debt to you, my lord. You saved me before.
Look, we don't have time now. Torren, take the controls. I want to get into that library. I'm sure that's where the key to the second foundation lies.
We come in peace.
In peace be it. You are welcome to the hospitality of the group. If you have hunger, you shall feed. If you thirst, you shall drink. Come with me.
And so we moved to new lands when I was 10 years old. The great metal slabs of the glory that was Trantor were uprooted and thrown aside. And there below was the soil, which had to be turned and freshened, invigorated. The neighboring buildings were torn down and leveled, others were turned into living quarters. It was hard, but we prospered.
What about hydroponics? Surely for such a world as Trantor, they would be the answer.
No. Hydroponics need a world of industry, and especially a great chemical industry. And in war or disaster, when industry breaks down, the people starve. No. The earth is still cheaper, still better, still dependable.
But can you grow enough food?
Enough. Perhaps monotonous, but enough. We have fowl that supply eggs, and we have milk yielders. But our meat supply depends on foreign trade.
Trade? What do you trade?
Metal. We have an infinite supply in every conceivable shape and size. They come with freight ships from Neo Trantor, demolish an indicated area.
Which gives you more growing space.
Exactly. Then they leave us in exchange meat, food concentrates, farm machinery, and so on.
And both sides profit. I presume that the university itself has not been uprooted,
no.
Demolished.
The university grounds are a static area. We farmers do not grow crops on it. We do not, by preference, even enter. The university is one of the few relics of former times we would prefer to preserve intact, untouched, undisturbed.
Don't you allow anyone to enter?
No one here has the desire to do so.
But we are seekers after knowledge.
We would disturb nothing.
No.
And we would leave our ship as hostage.
Very well. You will sleep tonight, and tomorrow I will take you there.
Thank you.
Encyclopedia Galactica, 116th edition. Entry, University of Trantor, subscript. During the great sack of Trantor, the university remained untouched. After the collapse of the imperial power, the students formed a volunteer army to protect the central shrine of the science of the galaxy. Throughout the 7 days' conflict, when even the imperial palace was overrun by the forces of the rebel Gilmer, an armistice kept the university sacrosanct. And so it remained.
Then you feel anything?
Yes. Seems as if the studies and researches go on, despite the emptiness and we're disturbing work. Anyway, that mustn't stop our work. I think the cataloging rooms are through here. That's where I start.
What do you want us to do?
Oh, nothing.
There must be
no, I can only do this on my own. I want you, Baker, to cook for me. I'll eat in the library while I work. Magnifico will stay with me to fetch and carry, my lord.
And to make sure you eat.
Yes, my lady.
You think you'll find what you're searching for?
Torrin, I know I'll find it.
What do you want? I'm busy.
He's very busy, Tom.
Yeah.
Well, I just... Look, Miss, we've been here 3 days now.
Well?
You can't study microfilms all day, every day.
No, I can, and I will, and I must.
But it was
rare. Torrin, listen to me. I must concentrate all my energy on this problem, my entire being. The Foundation has fallen, Haven has fallen. If the Mule wanted to, he could take the old Empire, too. I have to find out how he can be so successful. I have to find the second foundation before the Mule's forces take Trantor, this library, and everything. The evidence is here. It must be here. And I think I'm beginning to get somewhere.
All right, I know it's important, but at least you should eat the meals, Baker. It's magnificent. You must eat. Take some rest and food.
I do trust Tom, but the professor is a strong willed
man. Yes. I'll eat the food, I promise, but please leave me alone now. These records are very fragmentary. Some of them are even in code. I had to concentrate very, very hard to guess at the gaps between documents before I can make any progress. I need to be alone to have any chance of success.
Yes, I'll leave you there.
Yes.
Are you coming for some fresh air, Magnifico?
No, I think I'm more useful here, my lord.
Yes. Well, I'll see you later.
Yes. Now, where did I put that film?
Here.
Huh? Ah, yes, of course. What would I do without you, Magnifico? Right, I'll set up the bureau.
Yes, Professor.
Well?
Oh, I tried to make him see sense, but the old man's as stubborn as the mule, I suppose. Just works. And Magnifico sits with him like a very eager pet dog.
Torrin?
Yes?
Do you have a feeling that something isn't quite right? That something dangerous is close to us?
Yes. But it's only a feeling. Intuition. Anyway, what can we do if anything is threatening us?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Pritchard!
Yes, don't be alarmed. Flee. This is just a social call.
What are you doing here?
Oh, I'm not much of a welcome for an old friend.
How did you get here?
I followed you.
In that so-called Fillion patrol ship?
That's right.
Sir Magnifico was right. You've gone over to a mule.
Yes. but I would like to retain our friendship.
Oh,
well, be stubborn then. But your idea of the mule is very biased.
He destroyed my home planet.
No. Nothing was destroyed on Haven because it surrendered. Everything's the same as it ever was. The people are quite contented.
Preacher, what do you want here? What are you doing?
Following you. Just keeping an eye on you. Those are my only orders.
You're hoping we'll lead you to the second foundation.
I'm not hoping for anything. Just carrying out instructions. Follow, observe, but do not interfere. May I sit down? Thank you.
Preacher, what has the mule done to you? How can he convert people so easily?
Well, your knowledge cannot harm him. The mule is able to change a human being's emotions, not his intelligence. Intellectually, I'm quite free. But he can adjust the emotions. He can abolish doubts. He can give you a feeling of confidence in yourself and in him. I feel better now than I ever did when I was free. Now, believe me. And you would enjoy life a great deal more if you just stop resisting, stop trying to be different. If you let the mule look after you, he will. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm speaking as a friend, as someone who wants to help you. It's painful to me to see the way you're wasting your lives, tormenting yourselves with questions, doubts, when really all you need to do is forget about yourselves. Just help the mule to help you. And everybody else in the galaxy.
You'd better go now, Pritchard.
Instead of being here, waiting, wondering, frightened, you could be back on Haven or the Foundation with a good home. A family, perhaps?
Pritchard, get away from us. Get out!
I'm going. But if you change your minds at all, I'll be waiting. You can call on my help at any time. You will find the mule is not so ready to forgive and forget.
Doran, I'm frightened.
You're tempted, aren't you?
Yes, of course I am. But I'd rather be free than be just one of the mule's creatures.
Magnifico, pass me that tape, would you?
Yes.
Do you know, I don't know what I'd do without Magnifico. He's really becoming a first-class research assistant. He should have been a librarian, Mother Cloud.
Miss, you haven't had a word with Sam, have you?
No, certainly I have. Every word.
Pritchard told us how the mule wins his victories. He can control men's emotions, which means their will to resist him. Don't you think that's important?
It is very, very, yes. Yes, very. It's just that... Well, Magnifico and I had rather come to that conclusion ourselves, hadn't we, Magnifico?
You had, Professor.
No, don't be so modest. Without your moral support, I'm sure I'd be no nearer the answer now than when I started.
Are you saying that you knew all this?
But yes. And I told you, it's quite simple, really. Just a third-level equation of psychomathematics. I mean, after all, just ask yourselves, what were Selden's original assumptions, eh? Firstly, that there would be no fundamental change in the nature of human society over the next 1,000 years. Right. Now, suppose, for instance, there'd been a major change in Foundation technology, a perfection of electronic neurobiology, say. That would have meant enormous social changes, and Selden's original equation would be rendered obsolete. Or, I would imagine that some new weapon had been developed outside the Foundation, something the Foundation couldn't match. Now, that, too, would have caused a ruinous deviation from Selden's plan. But nothing like that did happen. However, there's a second assumption made by Selden. He assumed that human beings themselves would remain the same. That human response to stimuli was basically constant. Now, granted that his first assumption proved true, then this second assumption must have broken down. Otherwise, the Foundation would not have been conquered.
No.
So, something, some factor had twisted or broken the emotional responses of human beings, especially their will to resist, to fight, their preference for self-government rather than government by someone else. And what factor was there but the mule himself, do you see?
Yes, I do.
Well, it's quite simple, really. I can't think why I didn't see it much earlier, but then that's true of a lot of things. Ever since I've been here, my mind is becoming clearer and clearer. Problems seem to vanish. I give full credit to Magnifico here. He seems to be my good luck charm. Just by being here, he seems to be inspiring me. Yeah, anyway, the nature of the mule's mutation is no longer very important, really. What we have to do is to find the second foundation. You see, Rowan?
Yes, what are they?
Those old films, Beta, are the records of the great psychological convention presided over by Selden himself. It was at that convention that the two foundations were established.
You've read them?
I've read the summaries so far. There's a lot of rather specialized language used, but basically they're very clear and open about everything connected with the first foundation.
What about the second?
Ah, that's the thing. Hardly a single reference.
You mean it doesn't exist?
Of course it exists, but its location, its purpose, its significance, not a mention. Do you see what that means?
What?
It means that the second foundation was thought to be much more important than ours. The second foundation is the really critical one, and the mule has no idea where it is.
But neither have we.
Well, quite. But I think I'm nearer than the mule is to finding its location, at least. The mule has only defeated the first foundation. He hasn't defeated Sheldon.
Torren, there's something wrong here.
What do you mean?
Both Pritchard and me say the mule can control human emotions, don't they?
Yes.
That means he can make people serve him. He can make them fear him, admire him, or even love him.
We saw the evidence of that with Pritchard.
Exactly. And if the mule can control a man like Han Pritchard, why didn't he control Magnifico?
What?
Han Pritchard fought against the mule. He was an enemy, but now he's his slave. Magnifico was his slave, but he ran away. Why? Why didn't the mule control him?
I don't know.
Look, I'm going to ask Mies. I'll get Magnifico out of the way. Tell him to help you with some investigation somewhere else. Mies must know why the mule didn't condition his clown.
But he was conditioned. The mule may need faith and trust from his generals, but in his clown he only needed fear, pathological fear, which the mule found comic and helpful. It distorted everything we got from Magnifico. His description was colored by pathological fear. In any case, his information would be of no importance now, anyway. The only important thing now is the second foundation. And I'm close to the truth now, Beta, very, very close.
Torren, he's dying. He's driven himself beyond all physical bounds. It's only his mental energies that maintain him. As soon as the mule is mentioned, or the second foundation, he is lucid. He glows with strength. But his body won't stand it. It's only the food Magnifico makes him take that has supported him for so long.
My lady, the learned professor is ill. He calls for you. Come, please, come at once.
Say nothing. Let me speak. I'm finished. The work I pass on to you. I've kept no notes. No, I must know. All must remain in your mind.
Look, don't worry
about
that.
Listen. The first foundation was a world of physical scientists. A concentration of all the sciences of the old empire, except psychology. No psychologists were included. That's important. That's the clue.
Yes, yes.
The second foundation was a world of non-physical scientists, the sciences of the mind and the emotions. The exact mirror image of our world. We have physics. They had psychology. Now,
Foundation was scientifically vigorous. It could equip armies, use weapons, but what about a mental attack from a mutant such as the Mule?
You mean Selden intended the Second Foundation to be able to deal with that?
Yes, I am certain of it.
But they've done nothing.
How do you know they've done nothing?
Well, what evidence is there?
None. But remember, they would be a developing, growing world, as we were. I don't know if they're aware of the danger or if they've developed enough yet.
But if they are part of Selden's plan, then surely they must defeat the Mule.
Not... Is it they're not ready? The possibility of an error of timing on Selden's part is quite large because of the complexity of two different isolated foundations. If the Mule attacked before they were ready, or before they were even aware of the danger, then the future would belong to him. And the Mule's empire is not the answer for humanity. It would break up with his death, and without the continuity of either foundation, mankind would fall back into the millennia of chaos which Selden tried to avoid.
What can we do?
Listen, I know where the Second Foundation is.
Yes.
It has kept it secret, and you must keep it secret. You must warn them. Do you hear me?
Well, yes, but
where is it? The Second Foundation is...
You killed him.
Beta. So a Mule did get to you. Now he controls you.
No, Torin, no. I had to do it. I suddenly saw the answer to all the questions that have been plaguing me. I couldn't see the reason for the calamity that followed us. Wherever we went, disaster struck, but always after we had just left. Why? We are small, insignificant people. We have no part to play in political upheaval, but someone with us had. A very big part.
You killed Ebling Meese because you believed he was the Mule and had found the secret of the Second Foundation?
I killed Ebling Meese because he had found the secret of the Second Foundation, but not because he was the Mule. I killed him because he was about to tell the Mule.
Yes, my lady, yes. Yet with all my cleverness and forethought, I made a mistake. And lost so much. You were the cause of that mistake, my lady. Since my birth, I have been tormented, hated, shunned because of my looks and my strangeness. I did not understand either until I grew up, and then I found that my appearance was like that of many mutants, but my strangeness was different. No mutant before me could control another man's mind. I had power. Power to make up for the miserable position of my early life. I reached out, tentatively at first, and then with growing confidence, my control grew, but always through other people. I won Kalgan and a navy. Then I found you.
You controlled me on that beach, made me protect you.
Would you have risked your life for a grotesque clown you had never seen before without a little mental strengthening? So we reached the Foundation with Pritchard, and then I met Ebling Meese, the key to the whole campaign. First he gave me a busy sonar and arranged for me to give concerts all over the Foundation, arranged to gather together great audiences with receptive minds for me to play to. It made it so easy. Secondly, with my mental drive behind him, he was obviously capable of duplicating Selden's work. I drove him to the limit. He was dying, but he would have lived long enough to find the Second Foundation. Then the last battle would have been fought and won. But for my mistake.
You say my wife caused this mistake?
Your wife was the mistake. She liked me. She was neither repelled by me nor amused by me. So I did not tamper with her mind.
I cherished the natural feeling too greatly. I controlled you, Torren. When I went on board that Fillion ship to adjust Han Fisher, who was a prisoner on board, you challenged nothing. You accepted my explanation without question, although it was full of fallacies. But I did not want to control her, ever. Now I must find another Ebling Miss. I must start my search again for the second foundation.
And you will never find it. The second foundation will defeat you, because it was created for your defeat. The psychohistory of Harry Seldon will sweep aside your mean and petty dictatorship without pausing for breath. Torren and I believe that, and we are happy to die in that belief.
I won't kill you or your husband. You cannot hurt me further, and your death would not bring back Ebling Miss. Go in peace for the sake of what I call friendship. But I am the mule, ruler of the galaxy, and I shall defeat the second foundation.
No! I have faith in the wisdom of Seldon. You shall be the last of your dynasty, as well as the first.
Of my dynasty? Yes, I had thought of that often, that I might establish a dynasty. I sense your revulsion. If things were otherwise, I could make you very happy. An artificial ecstasy, but indistinguishable from the genuine emotion. But things are not otherwise. I call myself Mule, not because of my strength. Obviously.
Title: Foundation. Foundation and Empire, Second Foundation. Author: Isaac Asimov. Audio adaptation: Mike Stott. Part number 6. Part title: The Flight from the Mule.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy what I'm doing, I ask you to please subscribe to my channel or channels. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, peace.